Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
Okay. Bye, Brianna. I love you, Rihanna.
Oh, no, you don't love me. You don't love nobody. You love your own self. Come on, love you. And sorry. Stop screaming at me.
I'm not screaming at you.
That's right.
Once again, I like to sometimes take it back to where it first Stiggy started. And in this case, out of the mouths of babes. As you can see, we have a young lady, a young queen, who knew how to stand in her own space of royalty, okay, and how to reign over her own kingdom and not accept anything less than what she felt she deserved in that moment, which was more than a sorry ass sorry. So that's why she told the person that she was talking to, you don't tell me you sorry, talking about you love me and sorry. The hashtag for this week is and sorry. Take a lesson from this young queen in being consistent and also concise. Cover everything when it's time to speak on a subject. When it's time to take action on something, make sure your action reflects an overall assessment of what you had to damn do in the first place. Mm. Hashtag and sorry, because she completed everything that she was chicky-chicky checking. This week, I'm going to scratch the whole episode. Everything she was chicky-chicky checking him about. The hashtag this week is and sorry. Like she said.
Chicky, chicky, check.
That's right. And with that being said, and most importantly, understood and felt, it's time for this week's QTNAs, which are questions that need answers and also questions that Negras is asking.
Here we go.
Three of them. Real quick, we're going to knock it out the park this week. Question one. Is it true that that this past Sunday at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in Los Angeles, a chunky toddler tripped and fell going inside the restaurant, and while everyone else gasped and asked if the baby was okay, two seated diners wiped the corners of their mouths with a napkin and closed out their laugh with a simultaneous, hell no, and immediately turned to stare at each other, and it was Dave Chappelle and the lady who played Will Smith's mama on The Fresh Prince.
Is it true? Oh, my God. All right, that one I see. I'm mad because I see that one.
We're going to move right on.
I see that one.
Got you. I just, for some reason, I knew that I was going to get you, Fred.
Fine.
Question two, and where is it? In this case, it's in the news, too. Question
now, Will,
two.
You're going to respect your uncle when you down there. Bitch!
Oh my God. Question two.
God forgive us.
What's the best show on TV? No, that's question two. Question two. Okay. Question two. Here we go. And this one is short.
Yeah, that's it.
This one is short.
No, I can't get that sound out my damn head.
Now imagine Will Smith on the show, Mama doing that.
That's what they should have said if they threw Jazz Ass out the front door. Ah! Hoo 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 hoo! Yoo-hoo! Okay, question two.
Now, Will, I'm Rick James.
There you go. Okay. Fuck your couch, Phil! Okay. Oh, question God. Two. I'm trying to tell y'all.
You said it like 5 times.
Which one of y'all, and this is short, and I mean, we just need an answer. Which one of y'all said that Tracy Braxton made the final two to play Pray Tell on Pose?
Oh, my God.
All right. Can't you see her up there on the podium?
No, Electra, you were just stirring it up, Electra. She's really bringing it this week. She grabbed
and
her
she
purse.
Will come down off there and fight. All right.
Now,
question
Candy,
three.
Don't you come in here starting no mess tonight.
Yo, y'all are killing
question
me.
Question three.
You can see it. I'm mad.
Is it true that this past Monday morning at New York radio station Power 105.1, Atlanta's own fashionista felonist, Tommy. Okay?
Oh my God.
Tommy was rushing toward the Breakfast Club studios to make her interview on time and bumped shoulders with a taller woman in the tall hall, tight hallways. And when they both said, "Watch out," At the same time, Tommy looked right into the eyes of literary lady Terry McMillan for about 2 seconds and waited. Then they exhaled. Is it true? Oh, y'all know Tommy and Terry McMillan look just alike. It's in the eyes. Clock it. Can't wait for the side-by-side.
No.
With that being said and understood, it's time to welcome everyone to the Friend Zone, which is your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell,
Sheol
and or Hades, wants a musty brain? I know I don't. You two never have. Friend, how you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm happy to be here.
Dustin and I have on the same outfit today.
We do. Vibes, right? It was that telepathic thing
mesh.
We talked about.
We yeah, like island old men today.
We had a QTNA when I was putting my shirt on this morning in the mirror. I looked, I was like, that friend. Okay. Hey, and this is a funny note, really briefly, to let everybody know, me and Friend actually had a QTNA moment one time in real life, and it was so funny. Remember that day, Friend? I was walking behind you coming in the studio. I knew I had to take advantage of this opportunity. I was walking behind Fran to come into the studio and record the podcast, and she didn't know. And so when we come to check into the building, we have to check in at a security desk and place our IDs up there. So what I did was I pulled my ID out as I was walking, and I made sure to time it so that as soon as she put hers on the thing,
he slammed it on top.
I put my ID down, and she looked up. We had a QTNA moment. It was great. Love you, girl.
Y'all are so silly. Yeah. So I actually have a black business.
All right. Let me put this away then. Because I'm sure it's going to dry the boat. Look, you know, look, we come in prepared, okay?
I love it though. Okay, so Crayo Essence. I've mentioned Crayo.
Black. That's black.
And I love it because it's spelled K-R-E-Y-O-L, okay?
That's new black.
Crayo Essence. I've mentioned this company before because I use their castor oil for many years.
Okay. Yes.
But I had no idea about the social impact that buying their products had. No idea about the philanthropic work that was attached to the brand. And when I was reading up on it, I was like, wait a minute. I need to bring this up, first of all.
Tell me more.
And
tell
shout
me
her
more.
Out, right? So mm-hmm. Her name is, the CEO and co-founder's name is Eve Carr Momperousse. Mm. She's Haitian. She's young. She's brilliant. And what I love about, look at her, isn't she awesome?
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Yes.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Styling on her.
So what I love about her organization, I'm actually looking, is that she mentions that it's not just a product to, or rather, her brand is not just to help us relieve ashy skin mm-hmm. and dry hair, but every product you buy is actually helping develop the economy in Haiti.
Oh, man.
And so about 96% of her staff is made up of women and farmers in Haiti.
Oh, nice.
But the entire staff is Haitian.
Yeah.
And I love that because she said it's not so much about providing aid for Haiti as it is providing jobs and opportunities so that it can be rebuilt on its own.
Hell yeah.
So I love that because obviously anyone who is selling a product at this age, number one, and being a CEO is already unbelievably impressive because right. of the amount of work that takes.
Mm-hmm.
But then to be thinking about how it impacts your island, right. like, come on, that's next level. So she said when the devastating earthquake that we all know that happened January 12th of 2010, she wanted to put a pause on the brand because she sort of felt like it was irrelevant at that time. She had to help her community. But her mom told her, we should put the business at the forefront at this point, if anything, because now more than ever, our people will need jobs and ways to be self-sufficient. She said, when the donations stop with the aid, how will the country survive? So I need you to persevere in making this dream a reality, being that so many lives are at stake. And that's how the social impact of Crayo Essence was born. So well, I
shout
love
out to her
that.
Mama.
Right? Okay. Shout out to both of them for persevering through that. So I need you guys to go to CrayoEssence.com. That's CrayoEssence.com, where you can see all of their products. They have hair care, skin care, body care, everything from moisturizers to shampoos and conditioners, lotions, creams, hand creams, you name it. A couple of limited edition products as well. a blog explaining more about their mission statement, social impact. I love this because look.
Damn, there's some good ass reviews on this website.
And that's the best part too. But look, it says 350 farmers, women, producers, and men have been hired to date. And 90% of their products are exported. Look at that beautiful smile.
Gorgeous.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
I love that.
Our people.
And on top of that, they also care about the environmental restoration. So farming and harvesting the castor beans actually reduced deforestation, so erosion and gas emission in Haiti. So it's actually an agribusiness as well, because it's carefully plants and harvests all of their raw natural ingredients to produce the best beauty products in the Caribbean while also protecting the environment. I mean, come on. She's covering all the bases. So how could we not support that? So please check her out. I think she's amazing what she's doing. There's nothing like buying a product and knowing that it's also fair trade, meaning the people that are working on it are receiving living wages and it's building the economy. So Creo Essence is the Black business of the week.
Work. Well, I'm all up and through the website looking.
Right, like what can I order?
Okay. They got all sorts of oils, body butters and shit. Like I'm loving this.
She's a great brand. And I have used, I can definitely co-sign the castor oil. If anyone uses castor oil, it's so good. So good. Such a great brand. That's how you saw all the reviews. They're totally on point.
Tons of reviews, like hundreds of reviews, and it's like 5 stars. I'm like, damn, this
yes,
they
I love
swear
that.
By this.
And she's so young. So beautiful. Amazing. But so let's jump into the recap.
I hope Keisha K.O.R. finds out about the company.
What was whenever
K.O.R. times Creo, what
Creo,
is Creo K.O.R. They just make sense. I hope shout out to Keisha K.O.R. I hope you hear this or some y'all. If anybody know Keisha K.O.R., tell Keisha K.O.R. to holler at
them. She some castor oil in her palettes.
Listen now.
They could work together.
So last week's episode, which I'm sorry, but the comments had me crying. People were like, this episode was terrifying.
Man, I'm just
deep
saying,
fake software. I loved it. I thought it was such a great episode. Where we discussed, we got in our Black Mirror scary tech bag and discussed the rise of deepfakes, what they are, how they affect our sensory input, and why we should be concerned for the future of social media. Asante, who stood out to you? Because people had a lot to say.
People did have a lot to say. And I want to give a shout out to, pardon me, I hope that I'm saying this right. It's Nylan. She goes, I'm a user experience designer and I emailed you last year about a lot of tech companies and how they're ethically ambiguous and often disregard the negative ethics of their decisions. Well, now I work in an AI company, and I wanted to help ease some of the worries you have. Right.
Whose side are you on?
Right. One, the issues that come up with AI are almost always from humans, not AI.
What the fuck else look, they gonna come up with?
This is why I'm reading this, because I'm sitting here reading this like side-eyeing.
No, we finna read this. Go ahead.
The AI itself is created, usually for a great purpose, then abused later. For example, the software around the deepfake videos and the voice cloning could actually allow children, people with learning disabilities, and even able-bodied adults learn more accurately and quickly because AI can learn and process human error and correct it more consistently. I don't really necessarily agree with that. I agree with the initial point about, you know, it being created and abused later, but that's what a lot of things, and I think that's where lies
that's
the problem.
Everything, yeah.
That's also common sense.
Like, and that's where lies the problem, like all this stuff becoming so advanced and then it being abused later. Anyway, I'm just going to keep reading. Two, one reason people are so scared of AI is that we are the only animals on the planet aware that evolution takes place, but for some reason, we don't expect it to affect humans. We're actually in a great position with AI because not only are we creating the next step in the human evolution, they'll also allow humans to live and survive longer. In the last few hundred years, we've done a lot of damage to the planet, partly because we didn't know the effects. With AI, they can help us predict the negative consequences of what we do and find better solutions. This is Skynet waiting to happen.
Then you go live with a motherfucker.
No, you just
you go live with them damn robots.
And so low-key, I was trying to wonder to myself, because I'm about to say some real wild shit. You know, just cut off this note for a second.
whenever we order devices off of Amazon, there's always these Amazon-enabled devices in our house. So, like, the microwave, Amazon-enabled. And I guess if we plugged it up to a certain Amazon thing, we can voice control it or whatever. But I always think to myself, those random-ass comments that be under people's shit, that be, like, used or whatever, I'll be wondering if it's, like, the Amazon-enabled vacuum cleaner, like, talking on some shit. Because I feel like they be... Them robots, they be transferring, transmitting fucking data and shit. And I'd be like, I wonder if they listen in the podcast and getting this. So I wonder if this was one of them vacuums or something, right, man?
No, you didn't say the
right.
Vacuum.
Hell yeah.
Right.
I'm just going to be like, you are not really proven. And actually, now it's going to listen back and be like, damn, my error. My
well, we could turn Black Mirror into cracked mirror real quick. Okay?
And that's real tough.
Oh, my
So there's a long list of why AI is actually good, but I'll end with these last two. Yeah, right. You didn't really give us the last one. Anyway. A lot of times we associate AI with taking over jobs, and they could and should actually help us do the jobs better, not replace us. The bowling robot, it could actually analyze bowlers and help them correct their roles.
God.
Robot waiters. Waiters spend a lot of time on their feet and have a lot of potential for bodily stress that could be relieved, especially with room service.
Ooh.
We've all seen WALL-E and iRobot. These are terrible examples, and that's why I had to share this email.
Point.
Yes.
So this is somebody that just obviously wanted to be heard.
They've written in before, so they knew the risk that they were running. But all of these
they just wanted to be heard because they ain't making a lick.
And this is me reading it back. So I'm reading, I'm like, WALL-E was a read. Like, do you remember WALL-E?
I mean, they have a point in the sense that, yes, AI could be useful.
Which direction is it going, though, friend? Which direction is the point going, friend?
It could be useful, but the point of the episode was to show when it's not.
Right, like,
and
what?
And all of these things were reads, too. Like, WALL-E was a read about humans getting too damn fat. We stuck in space. A fucking iRobot, the shit turned. And then it was because the nigga knew that shit was going to turn or we was going to abuse it. Like, these are all terrible examples. But anyway, thank you for sharing.
Not thank you for sharing.
Hell yeah, thank you for writing it, because I was sitting there on the train.
Speak
reading
for yourself. You could have kept that.
No.
Look, the truth itself is AI isn't bad. No,
that's not your truth.
They was rounding it off, and it was a whole other paragraph. But no, that is not the truth. I disagree, but thank you for your comment.
Doesn't you know that robot bowling video is fake?
It is. Damn. Thank
we got.
Thanks, see, good. Friend.
But the irony
this
that
motherfucker
we did
probably
video.
Made it. That's probably who made the bowling video right there.
The bowling probably fucking emailed us. No, right. But the irony that we got off of a deep.
Off of, thank you.
Damn.
I thought that was.
But weird. At least we got the right way. You know what I'm saying? We was like, hell no! Instead of, you know, being in agreement with it, like this Nimrod that sent
no,
us this email right here.
All
what is
I'm
this?
Saying is, all I'm saying is, when the power went out, the other night,
right?
There was something to that.
Your whole life would have been shut down.
There was something to that, but
who gonna help you then?
Anyway,
who gonna tell you what could possibly happen? What could happen if we? Who you gonna get the data from then when the power goes out?
Look, they ain't user experience. They gonna get the first hand. So I hope they catch the first.
I hope you ain't in the bath or the tub. Your ass get electrocuted by that robot that's washing your ass while you're in the shower. And the power go out, you get electrocuted in the crack of your ass
to wash our legs.
Right.
Anyway, no, I'm just kidding, friend. What did you find? Are you in the SoundCloud streets this week?
I'm in SoundCloud this
week. Yeah, so maybe swerving on them.
So Steakums said. Why do y'all always laugh at who I pick?
What? How dare you? He gonna say Steakums.
We done got a comment from some dog treats.
Listen, it was the AI episode. You don't know
see?
What we're gonna
oh,
get.
See?
So Steakums, I can't read it. Steakum said, this person does not exist.com.
What?
Yes, please go to it right now. Uses AI to create pictures of people from scratch. Just keep refreshing the page. So, of course, I went to this person does not exist.
Hell no. Nah.
And this person does not exist. It shows you faces. And when you keep refreshing it, it just keeps generating fake faces, and this is what I was telling you guys. Is
that's so scary.
For
I
the
don't
bots.
Even looking at me,
Dustin is really covering his face. But isn't that eerie? Because that looks like a person. Yeah.
It does.
Yes.
Dustin's I think I know this nigga.
No, you do
right?
Not.
Like somebody like damn. I think
someone
I seen
on
that
East 46th Street or somewhere. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, look at his dirty ass. You know, that's the one that you're gonna look at twice when you be in a small room. Who else? Oh, look at her booger eating ass. Working in the cubicle, getting on everybody's nerves. Who else, friend? Oh, this nigga right
oh
here.
Oh, my God.
Greaseball. Don't ever go. Only got one damn job. mean to his damn. Who else, friend?
He looks eerie though. Look at his eyes. They didn't do a good job with the eyes. Oof. But they this is an interesting sight. So all you have to do is keep refreshing it, and it'll keep generating faces. But before we get to Dustin on the Twitter streets, did you guys see the new face app that everyone's using to make themselves look old?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have been watching people.
Hello.
That.
I'm not trying to make people paranoid, but come on.
Don't about see younger me.
It's learning your faces. Like, it's like now that you see it so clearly, the different ways that they're trying to get our, you know, our, to learn our faces so the AIs can have more recognition and more information and data, especially with facial recognition technology. And then all of a sudden, this app goes viral today. Or this week, rather. Everyone posting what they look like as an old person. And you know how the internet is. One person, one influencer, I think, I'm not going to mention names, but one influencer started it, and then all of a sudden it just kind of caught fire, and then everybody was posting it as an Instagram post.
Was it that fake girl?
Okay, the musician.
Little Michaela.
Like, try this new app. Like, girl, you are the app. What are you talking about? You know that I brought up this movie one time, but it's on Netflix, and it's called Cam. And it's about this girl, and she is like a webcam performer. So she make her money, you know, niggas is paying her money. But she keeps trying to compete with this other girl. This other girl's always like number one. And and this bitch is trying to get number one. Long story short, she finds out that the cam, the girl that's on the cam isn't a real girl.
She's competing with Lil Michaela.
Yes. And then come to find out, she gets locked out of her account. And some girl is stealing her account, and it's her. Like, they're using her face and everything. It looks like it's her house. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I can't get into my account. And she's, like, literally having a breakdown watching this girl on live on her camera account. And she's, like, in her house showing things. And it's like, how does this bitch have all my information? She's not real. So it ended up being some sort of algorithm or some shit that was taking these girls, stealing their webcam addresses or whatever, and then killing them. So I don't know if the bitch was hacking cars in real life and then trying to kill these hoes or what. But had, like, recreated the whole bitches, like, inside of her house. I was like, this is freaky as fuck.
And that's because when you're on cam, you're giving them data.
Yeah, when you're on your cell phone
they
looking
see what
and
your
streaming.
Background looks like, and they're learning all that with the algorithm. Ooh, Dustin, look at Dustin's itching over here.
You got to watch it. It's on Netflix. It's called Cam.
I feel like I've seen the banner for it. But
yeah, because it was up for the
it's
longest.
It's always, like, trending.
Yeah, it was up for the longest. I was like, let me watch this shit. Let me just fucking watch it. Just like on Hulu, there's a movie called Assassination Nation, and I watched it because Abra was in it. But that's on a whole nother.
Avril?
Abra.
Oh. You know, like Avril Lavigne.
Look, another deep fake, but that was a different, that's a whole nother conversation.
I thought he said Abba. I love Abba.
You can dance.
Hey, you can jump.
They're on a, in a movie on Hulu.
Having the time of your life. Ooh, see that girl. Watch her sing. Dig it, the dancing queen.
What a perfect segue. Dustin, what did you find in the Twitter streets?
So I'm going to keep it real quick. Shout out to More Information, M-O-O-R Information, who tweeted as of today, Shaquille O'Neal, comma, Ed D. So apparently he's got an editorial, an educational doctorate. He is the owner of 155 Five Guys Burgers restaurants.
Work, Shaq.
155.
Holy
17
shit.
Auntie Annie's Pretzel restaurants.
Ooh.
150 car washes, 40 24-hour fitness centers, a shopping center, a movie theater, and several Las Vegas nightclubs.
Hell yeah.
How do you even keep track of
Hell
all of that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's so tall. He, you know,
he can overhang a lot.
Right. Oh, shout out to Shawnee O'Neal.
Wow, okay. That's money. No, you didn't.
Shout out to Shawnee, for real. No wonder they're getting along.
Okay, shit.
Wow.
Yeah, so I definitely wanted to highlight that. And then the only other tweet I wanted to get to so we can go ahead and get the show moving came from Hopewell EH, which is spelled exactly the way it sounds, who said, my side chick daughter spotted me, dot, 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 shaking my head. And there's a picture from either the inside of his car. he's passing a car with a young, beautiful little baby holding onto a lowered rear window, looking dead inside his car. It's one of the funniest tweets ever. So go to my timeline. I retweeted it and y'all will see it there. That's all I got, friend. Back to you.
Back to me. So I just, because the magic zone, what do we call ourselves? The mystical zone. Mm-hmm. We just never fail. So a couple of things. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez mentioned that they had just started to sound the alarm on the way facial recognition technology is expanding in concerning ways. From the FBI to ICE to Amazon as well, the bar for consent and civil liberties protection is repeatedly violated, and on top of it all has a disproportionate racial impact as well. Because apparently, I was even reading an article with the RoboCops that they're planning, even with racial, there's going to be so many racial disparities because based on your skin complexion, they'll put a code on the threat level.
See?
So they really making these human-like.
Right.
I mean, who do you think is programming?
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. There's going to be inherent bias just because of the developers themselves and what their personal bias
is. Darker skin is going to be more of a threat simply because the robot can't see as well as eyes. Like, you know, they're going to make up some bullshit, but
Yeah, and even on a smaller scale, did you guys ever see that clip that went viral on Twitter where it was like a soap dispenser wouldn't dispense to anyone with really dark skin?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? Because the developers... The skin tones that they had designated for it to set, like read the sensor, none of them were dark skin because everyone in Silicon Valley that probably was working on it is white.
It's so like even to that degree, that one color.
Right? And the dude was like putting his hand and it would not dispense the soap.
Well, to be fair, they did say hand soap and not leg soap.
Oh my god!
So this actually makes perfect sense.
It doesn't. So I had to mention that because I thought the timing of that was bugged out. Of course, this whole face app making everyone look old, I thought that was hilarious too, the timing. And then lastly, not to make people paranoid, but I just think these are things that are important to know. So have you guys ever heard of Peter Thiel?
He's
the right-wing billionaire.
Yes, yes.
So he created a surveillance company called Palantir. This is what it looks like. And it's known, it's really scary. So, what was that movie with Tom Cruise where
Mission Impossible?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, Minority Report.
Yes, where their goal was to create
the precogs.
Right.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
No, it's fine. You were hitting me like what's that show? With Alex Trebek.
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. Right.
The speed round.
Shout out to Alex Trebek.
Okay.
Right? I hope he's doing well. Right. I know he was sick. But see, my brain is just like, where are we right now? So he created this company, Palantir, in hopes of capturing crime before it happens.
See.
So everyone is under constant surveillance. Your associates, everyone you're around. So the goal is if something happens where they think you might commit a crime, because you're under surveillance in every way via apps, via even like, you know how Google can tell you your neighborhood, what street you're on. You go on a running app, it can tell you what avenue you ran on. Literally everything we do has our location following us at all times, just even your phone being on you. The different ways that we give up our data on a regular basis, they allow Palantir to compile files on our entire lives. So very easily, if for whatever reason you're being investigated or even being considered for a crime, they have a whole file that just will tell them everything.
Your habits,
your movements, what you look up. And obviously they don't, and I'm going to say allegedly, because, you know, they were interviewing him and he was saying it's not used for malicious intent at all.
Bitch, please.
But this is a lot of the ways that ICE agents are keeping track of immigrants, and even Amazon is in trouble, too. I know a lot of their workers have been begging them to not give up a lot of the recognition information that they have as well. Facial recognition is really going to become tricky territory, especially with these bigger companies like Facebook, Amazon, having such a monopoly on this data. And like, what are they really using it for? You know, like who they're feeding it to and the contracts they might have that we just are not aware of. We're here putting these cute little filters and not understanding like how much more sinister it is, the data that's being collected and evaluated for you and your network of people and exactly what is being surveilled. So,
you know what I hate that I got into? The super side random. I hate that I got into the face password.
What's that?
Like, you know, the face lock, the face ID?
Oh, yeah, same.
I hate that I got into it because It, I mean, well, first of all, it always works. Somebody tweeted, they were like, I hate when my face ID don't recognize me. It makes me feel ugly. And I'm like, my shit recognizes me when I have my glasses
even
on.
Even in the dark.
The bad lighting. Like, my shit just, like, I barely swipe to unlock and it's like, oh, unlock. I see your face. And in my mind, I'm like, this is kind of scary. And so when I log on to certain websites and my face ID is locked in as my password, that shit starts to make me wonder, like, damn, is this not just my phone that this is, like, being transmitted on at this point? Like, is my face ID kind of being transmitted, like, through these banking websites, wherever else I'm, like, securing my data information? So when these these leaks start to happen, you know, before you just have to be worried about password leaks, but now I got to be worried about my face leaking and somebody building an algorithm for using that to hack into my shit. Like, just a whole nother, even though it's always these added layers of security, there's always somebody that's trying to hack that shit or get past that shit, because we all hate waiting in line for whatever it is.
Now, yeah.
Whether or not we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, that's a whole nother thing.
I don't even like nobody really looking at me like that.
Really? Okay.
Just walking down the street, bitch, what you looking at? Like, don't even be staring
no mental
at me.
Pictures of me.
Okay. But I definitely think people should look this up. Palantir, P-A-L-A-N-T-I-R. Vice actually just recently released an article breaking everything down about it. In the article, which I have pulled up right now, they say that Palantir can aggregate a lot of information about a person. Here's what they say. This includes emails, phone numbers, current and previous addresses, social security number, business relationships, license plates, travel history, as well as car paths as captured by license plate cameras. The tool also maps that a person's quote unquote possible relatives and possible associates and friends and family.
Man, what in the hell?
So it's a data analytics company, but they're very concerned about how much surveillance they're actually doing in our lives.
Minority Report was a great reference.
I was like, what is the name of that movie? I could not remember.
You should also reference Eagle Eye with Shia
LaBeouf.
That's
another one?
Hell yeah. Do you remember Eagle Eye with Shia LaBeouf? Did you ever see that?
No.
It was basically, I think he had like a twin brother or something that got murdered, but they come to find out that the program that they had in D.C., Eagle Eye, that was made for protection, was killing all these people off because it was actually determining that the humans were, you know, not doing their shit right. So Eagle Eye was going to take care of Earth. And I was like, this is some fucked up shit. Determining threat assessments. But Minority Report's fucked up because how do you determine, like, because we all have this split second where we can decide we want to do something or we don't. So how do you determine, like, well, based on this information, this motherfucker's going to snap. So we need to arrest them. Because Minority Report, they were
like
using,
just as a precaution.
Yeah, Minority Report, they were using, like, technology along with some, like, sort of supernatural shit. So it was kind of hard to even prove what they were proving. But now using all the surveillance and I guess trying to do like body language readings and verbal assessments, compiling all this data from your phone mics and street cameras, like that's super invasive. And a lot of that shit can be going to use for other shit. Like,
and obviously there's going to be a lot of racial bias.
Right.
Like that's the whole point. So that's where it gets super sinister.
Let the cameras determine the weather that's happening. Like, is there a smog alert that needs to go into effect? The water, does it look like it's being a little funny? Like, how about the shit surrounding us as opposed to looking at us and watching us?
Especially if they're using voice recognition software, because you'll be able to immediately tell the person's race. Like, by the words they use, like, Black people don't say cock, we say dick. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so, like,
it, Ross.
So
that's
you
true,
don't
though.
Know, right?
That's
like, a cock.
That's,
like,
we don't say perfectly that. True.
But even the name, Palantir.
Cock is disgusting.
No, not cock.
See, yeah, right. You hated it's it too.
Palantir.
It didn't sound right.
Disgusting.
It's the name itself is an omniscient orb from the Lord of the Rings novel, allowing it. And what the orb used to do was that it would allow peepers. You hear me?
That's what they is.
You see that slip up? Look at that. It would allow people to look into the past and into the future. And that's what they named their company after. So, like I said, Vice.com just did an expose about Palantir. So I definitely think people should read up on it. Just, it's not to be paranoid. I don't want us to do these episodes and then people be scared to open up their phone or any app or looking around at like where they're being watched.
And I'm going to my settings and denying all permissions.
And all the watchtowers in our neighborhoods, because Lord knows Harlem has them. So
okay,
just something to, if anything, it's important for us to be informed. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's all. But
All right, you guys, we're in the middle of one of the biggest heat waves of our time, which I don't care if it's over 80 degrees. It's a heat wave, okay? Yes. And now is the perfect time to enjoy ice cream. Ice cream is a longtime favorite treat of all of ours in the summertime. And thankfully, Ben and Jerry's has reached out and blessed us. Now, I know everybody's got their favorite. Shout out to Big Frida and her Ben and Jerry's collab.
Oh, I just saw that.
The booty bouncing beignets, you know.
Yeah. I'm excited know New Orleans, right?
That's the flavor they need to send us.
That is the one. So I love that one. And I also do love the half-baked because just like me, it's fully loaded. You got chocolate, vanilla, brownies, cookie dough. And in order to maximize, wow, you got to have a chunk of it in every bite. So treat yourself to your favorite flavor of anywhere, of ice cream, anywhere that is sold. You can get Ben and Jerry's. Or you can find a new favorite flavor at benjerry.com. That's BenJerry.com.
That's all. But on a lighter note, because there's a lot going on, I'm like, we don't have to be heavy. Last week was a little intense. But I did think it's funny that the Mystical Zone struck again because Diddy
brought back Making the Damn Band.
Ooh, la 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 la, skin is getting wet, clothes
did
coming off.
Ooh, isn't that la, hilarious? La, la. Do you think he should bring it back?
No.
I do. I do, because I think that there needs to be something fresh in the space of like competition-based, I should say, reality shows. I thought about that after he made this announcement and when he first started the conversation about bringing it back, which we all know means that they had already decided it was coming back.
Right,
it was a rollout.
Just being Diddy. Right.
But I'm glad that there's something new coming that we all sort of already have a built-in trust for. I can't tell you nobody that won The Voice, and I don't think you guys can either. And the last American Idol winner I remember is from season 4 or 5, or I don't even know. So I can't even, you know, there's been a disconnect for me at least. And so I'm excited about this. I think that that was a great venture for Diddy. It was a great space for him. And I know it's a lot of dope talent out there that we'll only find through this search. These people won't really apply for some of the shows that exist now. So I want to see like what they have to offer. And I think it's dope.
Asante, you don't seem as excited.
I'm only saying no because they're not going to ask me to help out with it. Like, when I tell you I loved Making the Band, like, we all watched Making the Band. We all watched Diddy make the rap group. We all watched Diddy put these girls through. Like, we all watched Diddy take Donnie Klang and give him an album. Like, we all watched Diddy do all these
things. What happened
Donnie
to him?
Right? Like, Dr. Love came out here, you know, Day 26. And shout out to Day 26, because one thing I'll say about them over Danity Kane, whenever they reunite, it's all level. Like, Danity Kane, one thing that I really wish is that they would see the importance of all of them, like, needing to be a thing just because of how, you know, Making the Band was. Because I've been in the Making the Band hole for weeks. So this coming back out, I'm like, I still need the tapes released. I still need these DVDs out. And whenever he does it, I want him to be able, I don't want to give away these free ideas, but fuck it. I want him to be able to tie in some of these social media people and say, you know, I'm giving them a chance to audition, do private auditions, whatever. And I also don't want, because I feel like this keeps happening in some of the conversations that come back to me, I don't want this June's Diary thing to keep coming up with Diddy. Like, people were like, if he's gonna do Making the Band, then there needs to be some sort of justice for June Diary. That had nothing to do with Diddy.
That was on BET.
Right. So I don't know why that kept
the
coming
Kelly
up.
Kelly Rowland's group?
Yeah, yeah. People were like, oh, there needs to be something that happens for June's Diary. And I agree, but that has nothing to do with Diddy.
Apples and orange? What the hell?
Right. So when we do this this process with Diddy again, because after Making the Band, there was Making His Band, where he was trying to do make a group of like instrumentalists or whatever. And then that kind of like, that had, listen,
I must have came on the History Channel.
I'm like, when did that
when I tell
out?
You, I like Diddy is somebody I've always loved and admired and respected. So I watched Making His Band. I watched I Want to Work for Diddy. Like I watched all of
I
Want
to Work
shows.
For Diddy too. Shout out and to so, Laverne Cox.
Yeah, shout out to Laverne Cox, because that's where she really first showed up and showed her ass, and deservingly so, because they were
and
being
Popra.
And oh my God,
oh,
Popra.
Shit.
Y'all remember Popra?
Absolutely.
And then she came back on Bad Girls Club as Red.
Yes. No, she did not come back on there as Red.
That ain't the same person.
That's not the same person.
Red from the Bad Girls Club and Poper ain't the same person.
I don't know what he's talking about. Nobody. Nothing.
All I know is there were so many great moments on Making the Band, watching him with Lorianne, with Doc, with all these people, these legends, like really train these women up.
With Jason, the den mother.
With Jason coming in as the den mother. Jason was the original like shit starter on TV, but like Lorianne was the original like dream driver. I feel like when you watch Lorianne come in there and with these girls,
I wonder if she's gonna be a part of it.
I want Lorianne back. There's no way you can do it without Lorianne.
She has to.
Lorianne has to. Can I just tell you one of my? Oh, this is not good. One of my favorite episodes is where Lorianne, she just came back. You know, her and Diddy had finally had it out. They cried and had that shit on the show, but Lorianne was in a rehearsal with the guys and she started going at it with Brian because Brian wasn't really respecting the process. Like, she's trying to get through this rehearsal. They still have a show put together. He's stopping and he's like, oh yeah, they're going to come in with the Pro Tools and testing. She's like, you talking to me about the Pro Tools? You don't even have the steps down right. Like, we're trying to get this show together. He's like, well, no, I'm just saying. Like, they started yelling and she was like, control him. Willie, tell him to shut up. Mm-hmm. Willie, tell him to shut up. Like, control him. And then, long story short, she ended up packing up her shit and leaving.
Remember he started crying?
Yeah. First of all, Brian was a train wreck.
His braids was too tight.
They never grew. People were always talking about Brian and them braids and how they never grew. But one moment I will give Brian is when he was battling to be in the house and Diddy brought them new guys in. Mm-hmm. And he was singing his ass off and everybody joined in. I always bring
when they were in
that
the
moment.
Room.
Yes. There were so many iconic moments to Making the Band that if he brings it back, it has to be done right. It has to be handled with care.
So what does that mean to you when you say it has to be done right?
Well, I feel like MTV, they've been bringing things back and they've been kind of falling by the wayside. Like TRL came back and it, I guess, did whatever they wanted it to do and then it kind of dissipated, or is it still happening and we just don't talk about it no more? I don't even remember. I just want when Making the Band comes back for it to be genuine to what it was then, but also pay homage to the way we look at social media now. So I don't think that we need to vote for these people, but like, you know, when they have the auditions, why not have people that we might be familiar with from social media as long as we think that they're good, as opposed to making it all about, I feel like sometimes when shows come back, they make it all about like one thing. So they'll be like, all right, well, now the girls have to post a photo today or do this, but it should be like little mini challenges. Like before, he would have them singing in Times Square. Like if he did, like, okay,
or walking to get cheesecake in Brooklyn.
Walking to get cheesecake
at 10:30 p.m.
Like when he's putting the group together.
Would y'all have walked to get cheesecake?
No, I would not. Not have.
You would have.
Yes.
I mean, then
you know I wouldn't have.
You wouldn't have.
Nope.
Well, I probably would have standing in solidarity with you. But if you wouldn't have said nothing, fam, we would have been on that bridge. Girl, we got to focus.
I'd be like, kiss my ass. This ain't got nothing to do with me being a creative. Right. What are you talking about?
And listen, me then living in Atlanta, I didn't have no fucking New York legs. So hell fucking no, I ain't walking to get no.
And it was late. It was cold.
And where were they?
I think it took them 2 hours.
Were they living in Soho then? Or
no, I think they started the walk at 42nd Street because that's where the studio was.
I didn't know where that loft was, but I was like, this loft don't seem like it's nowhere near a Brooklyn anything. Like, it didn't look like no Lower East Side thing. Like, I was like, they look far. It wouldn't have been me. It wouldn't have been, I don't know if a production van was taking them halfway. They were doing checkpoints, but no.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of wish he would have just brought out the old episodes, like remastered.
That's
episodes.
What I need first and foremost. I need all
that
would have
been cool to
first.
Put the seasons back on TV,
so you can see all of the girls and where they're at now. Because some of the
that
girls,
would be cool with some like behind the scenes.
Yeah,
did you see Aubrey's tweet where she was like, "He don't really." What did she say? Something about like he don't help any artist pop off, so it's like, what's the point of this?
Well, first of
she
all,
has
bitch,
a,
you crazy. And
she has a point.
Well, she do, but I don't want it from her. First of all, Aubrey O'Day, you are crazy. She just also said that the junior of the guy who's in the White House is her soulmate. She wrote a song about it called DJT that was on their project.
Stop it.
On God, she said that. So obviously, she's probably on some drugs that are on a totally different level than we can understand. Allegedly, and so I'm not even considering that. And Diddy don't want nothing to do with her ass. Okay,
Gave her her walking papers then, because after he fired that ass,
so did.
And they were on the reunion, and she came out and she was giving some little half-ass speech about whatever. Diddy wasn't even there. He was like Skyping in from damn Miami. And after Aubrey gave her Aubrey gave her a little half-ass speech, Diddy was like, "Hey, yo, baby girl, you need to humble yourself."
Straight up.
He was like, "It's gonna be a long, cold, dark road where you that you headed down." Like,
was and he was it, right.
And was right. I hate that I look back and I look at Aubrey now. I'm like, wow, this face and all this stuff, like you went exactly where Diddy was saying you were going.
And we literally were rooting for Aubrey.
Were. And there was no reason D-Wood should have been caught in that crossfire. I wish Andrea was happy. I watch all that all the time.
Now she got some fortune cookies under her eyes. That's what you get.
My only thing is, I know entertainment is the point of all of this.
Yeah.
I just hope that whoever the new band is, that they actually have a shot.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay,
I
so
agree. A lot of the times, like you said, you couldn't even say who a winning contestant on The Voice is. Like that, it's like it's... It makes me feel bad when these artists really go on these shows and really view it as like their shot. And then it's like this low-key isn't anybody's shot. This is just for a show.
Now you
and
know.
That's kind of what messes me up. But I did see a clip with Durand. Did you guys see that? Durand, who we love. Apparently there's another show with
Dame Dash.
And who else is on the judges panel?
I think it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Why do I look at you to really tell me? So it's a new competition show. It's
coming?
A new competition show. I'll look it up.
Yeah. See, I like
you are not helping me out.
I like competition shows. Like I like the one that they did signed, where it was Lenny S and The Dream and Rick Ross. So like I always watch competition shows, but for me, I would actually like for making the band. Like I want Diddy to show him bringing the other people back. I don't know if that looks like him trying to reunite them or what. It should be like he could do a whole Making the Band tour if he really wanted.
I've seen them talking. I'm sorry. Day 26, they posted some videos where it was like four of the members, Willie, and then three others.
Who was the one missing?
I don't remember.
Was it Q?
Let's start there.
So there's Willie, Q,
right.
Robert.
Willie, Q, Robert.
Mike. Andre?
And Colin? Or,
what?
Ain't it a white boy?
No, there's no white boy.
I thought that's why it was Day. Otherwise, I always wondered why it was Night. But anyway, okay, so here's the thing. They posted a video saying that they want to be involved. What the fuck is y'all was contestants? So how can y'all even be involved in a new thing? What do you want to do? And what have you done? The only person, honestly, at this right here is No Cap.
Oh, here we go.
Fitted or Snapback.
Here we go.
The only person who needs to be involved in this in that capacity, in a mentorship or judge capacity, is Dawn Rashad.
The only person
honestly, from those franchises. And another, I'll tell you one more person.
Go ahead.
Babs Bunny, because she's taken and created an entire lane hosting those Queen of the Ring battle rap competitions that are super successful. And also she's kept her pulse on rap music and the underground rappers, that story, that narrative. So I could totally see her being a part of this. Her and Dawn. And if we have to take someone from Day 26, I will pull Willie just because he did his stint or his run on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. Yeah. Didn't he do Marriage Boot Camp 2 or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe those three. And that's it.
Yeah.
There doesn't need to be a formal or complete representation of all these people. What are you going to do?
Right.
What would you do on the damn show?
Because honestly, I don't want to hear about them anymore.
Back in, come on.
But I want
right, friend.
And
the door is closed.
No. You know what? And they can when Diddy decides to release them old videos. That'll be a moment for them right away. But I don't want to see them back on the show in a full capacity. Like I don't need all members.
Don't make no sense.
Yeah, because we don't need all members of Day 26 back. But also, I do want to see, or I wouldn't mind seeing what happens to the rest of the members of the band. And then maybe from there, Babs is the one that comes back. Like, if we talked about what happened to all the remaining members of DK3, and Diddy could be like,
I'm going to give y'all 35 seconds for that montage you're talking about.
I mean,
that's
truly.
That's all y'all getting, some flashes of pictures, maybe, a five-second clip.
Truly, that's all you really
need.
And then
we're moving on with the new show.
That's really all you need, because it's not like we want brand new music or anything.
So I found it. It's a BET show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called The Next Big Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Tina Davis, Dustin, Dame Dash, and Zaytoven.
Zaytoven.
Those are going to be the judges. They're also known as The League. Mm. And it'll place 21 up-and-coming R&B and hip-hop artists through a demanding and exhausting artist development boot camp designed to create the next big superstars. Apparently, it already premiered on July 9th. 10 p.m. on Tuesday nights. And it says it's going to have, let me see, people from, oh, you can get, okay, so the point is to get a deal on the spot from Def Jam Records.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. I mean, I haven't even, I just saw the one clip, because apparently he called, he was making fun of Duran's style.
He called him Leroy from Fame.
From Fame.
And if you know anything about the original Fame series and you know who Leroy is, you know it was a read.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And it was vicious. And
Duran bucked up on him.
He sure did.
He told him, I gotcha, Leroy. He said, you need to go get your money back.
From Lee Daniels.
Ooh, work.
It took me back to a time in my life when I knew people who had perfected the art form of those sort of witty retorts.
Just swift and quick. And then it's Dame Dash. So I was like, oof, oof, oof.
And he felt it too. You saw it in his face.
He was shot.
Get him.
And then he tried to join him, but I already did. How about that?
He didn't know he had it in him.
It was too late.
But so I'm definitely going to check that out. I don't know if it's like a BET.com thing or if it's on the network. Maybe it's on the network. But definitely something to check out. If they have people like Duran on there, that means it's talent. So I'm curious to see. And then what about JD, Jermaine Dupri?
Oh, the recent comments that he made about women rappers?
Mm-hmm, being rapping strippers.
Okay,
and his
so,
new rap cypher. That was his response.
Have
to
you
his
ever
response.
Seen something so quickly panned, friend? After, I mean, as soon as he put... And then the... Okay, so let's just take it all the way back to the root of this problem, right? So what he said, which was that he was giving an interview and he said that he was disappointed in the state of women rappers. He said female. I like to say women. So women rappers or whatever. And he said, never mind, because I was about to crack a bad joke that would have been offensive. Anyway, so he basically said that all they're rapping about is their pussies, his words, and that most of them are, you got strippers rapping. And all they're talking about is they pussy, man, come on. Like, ain't nobody really, you know, in the game doing it, you know, really rapping lyrics. Mind you, we're in one of the best seasons for women in the rap game. Ever before, ever.
World records being broken. 7
women
rappers made the top, what is it, the Hot 100 for the first time ever. 7 at the same time.
Yeah, like, so this is a great time. Cardi B's wave of success has really allowed a lot more people to be open to that idea in general. And it's a great time. And there's a lot of ladies out here that's doing their thing. I've always loved women in rap. I've loved Trina since the first time I saw that rhinestone bra. I love, you know what I'm saying, Lil' Kim. That's our era. So I just think it was really narrow-minded. And also, it was less than informed when you heard it. And for someone with the credentials, because Jermaine Dupri is literally a music legend. Legend. Has produced, arranged, written some iconic hits. Songs, We Belong Together, Mariah Carey, like, these are things that Jermaine Dupri is responsible for. So Def in general, Escape, not in general as a group, but So Def in general, because that could have been a group on So Def in general. But anyway, it was just narrow-minded and small. And so then after everybody basically took their belt off and got his legs, he wanted to come back and say, well, since I got all these calls and emails and texts, I'm going to do a female rap cypher. Everybody send your submissions in. People was like, fuck out of here. Like, ain't nobody fucking with you and what you have to say after you said what you had to say.
And that kind of reminds me of the same thing with the cheesecake. It's that old guard mentality of like, you got to prove yourself to me type, you know, and I just, in my head, I don't view artists like that.
Right.
Like, you don't have to come in dragging yourself and trying to prove your worth to someone to see if you can get your shot. Like, no, you know how amazing these artists are? Like, they should be treated with the utmost respect. So it kind of annoyed me that he's like dissing people and then at the same time being like, become prove if I can give, what, he called himself a gatekeeper. I was like, really? Since when?
Unless you're talking about that gap in your motherfucking teeth. And my thing is, Jermaine Dupri, you're a person who should already, as short as you are, you already need to be agreeable. Stop. As agreeable as you can. You don't want to look like you had a disposition. You know what I'm saying? So when Napoleon Dupree showed up in them comments, I was like, God damn, man. How can you be responsible for the career of someone like the Brat, who at that point in music history was rapping about controversial things and had an appearance that was controversial and really did her own thing? How can you now take the perspective of someone who literally is just refusing to see and recognize all these dope girls that are in the game right now, and you say something like that? To me, it came off a bit envious. When you have labels like QC, who has the rise of the success of the City Girls, you know what I mean? Artists like that that are coming up. I think Jermaine Dupri is just envious. I do. I think So Def ain't really hitting on nothing. He'll always be able to write and produce iconic music in the future for artists like Usher and Mariah Carey that he has that sort of working relationship and that natural chemistry with. But we don't care what you have to say about all these girls that we know are dope. We out here listening to the music, buying it. We're going to their concerts. We're retweeting what they put on social media. Like, that's what we on. So
can I say one thing, though, that kind of made me feel weird, though? I hate how people do that thing where, like, they start mentioning the girls that do rap about their pussy and then be like, but you have girls like Rhapsody and, you know, Tierra Whack and Rico Nasty. And I hate that it creates this division of, like, the girls who rap about pussy and the girls who are like, what are people trying to say? Like, they're not allowed to be sexual, or they don't want to be sexual. It kind of boxes everybody
right
in. Instead of, like, allowing people to do that if they want or not. Maybe Tierra Whack gonna flip it on us one day. Maybe Rhapsody gonna flip. Like, you don't know. And I kind of hate when you get boxed and cornered into being the, like, serious or intellectual or rappity rap or backpack rapper, whatever the labels are. Because I think you need to let people have room to rap about whatever the fuck they want to rap about. Because sometimes you might want to be sexy and then be scared to do that because you can't. You know, because it's like, well, I'm supposed to rap this way at this point. This is how people view me. And then that's what kind of can stifle a creative at some point, too, when they feel like they have to represent a certain sect of rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which we're talking about rap. So this is an art, a curation of words, right? So it seems like the more things that you are able to have is, you know, niche items that you rap about. You know what I'm saying? This is what you can kind of style your rap towards. Seems like that would be the dope thing to do, right? To pick words that you can really hang with, you know what I'm saying? And build a lyrical arsenal around that. Mm. So why are you hating, homeboy? Like, what's the problem? Why do you have to be a girl, like you said, Fran? I think that's the intention, though. I think they want to create that division. And now, I guess, just start that narrative and get some girls out of the way so that they can push. He probably got some artists that he's about to introduce. You know what I mean? I think it was all intentional. It has to be, because I just, for someone to be as musically talented as he is, I know he can't be that dumb. He can't.
And it's always been that way. This isn't new.
It's not new. And I think it speaks to how uninformed he is and also how there's that double standard. Because when I think of So Def, I think about all the booty shaking music. Like, that's off top. Like, I think about, you know, look at them girls with the Daisy Duke song. Like, and these are part of the mixes. These aren't necessarily songs that were broken, but like songs that were kind of like the foundation of what So Def was. So, yeah, Jermaine came out rapping about, you know, Welcome to Atlanta and all this other shit. But I feel like there was not a, it's not even like he was like, oh, you know, because if he was very informed, right, he's talking about how there's only these stripper girls out. He would be able to mention the girls that were out back then that weren't stripping. And if that even mattered, because I guess kind of to what your point is, it shouldn't matter if they're rapping about just stripping, because I watched this interview with Trina and she was talking about there's all these niggas that's out here rapping about the same old damn, same old thing, whether it's drugs, money, sex, like over and over again.
Literally, we talked about over and
all
over
these
again.
Little boys that's out here and they all sound like they sick and sad and they all crying. They all sound the fucking same. And it's like a wave of them. There's like different waves of people that rap about shit. So if there's a wave of girls that rap like strippers, I don't think there should be anything wrong with that as long as, you know, people got good wordplay or they battling for it or whatever. And I think it's a good landscape where we're getting a lot of cool music. And there are different people out there. There are those Rhapsodies that are out there. Like, I can think about back in the day when, you know, Missy was out. We also still had Jay, Miss Jay, you know, Ching Ching. I feel like there were people, because Miss Jay, you know, Get Your Big Head on the Floor, that was a moment, you know. There are just these people that have made music and women have been doing things for so long that I guess now that we're starting to see this oversaturation, if you will, in one area, it doesn't necessarily mean that women can't do other things, but I think that it's a good stepping stone, especially coming in the summer, for us to say, why can't these girls be a bunch of strip? Like, why can't we have a bunch of stripper music right before summertime? Like, you're Jermaine Dufucking-Pri. Like, y'all just brought back Freaknik in Atlanta. Like, it's the beginning of summer. It's not like it's cold outside and everybody's depressed and we making nothing but stripper music. And it's not even that we're making nothing but stripper music. You're Jermaine Dupri. Who have you been highlighting? Like, in the same interview where they were talking about Jermaine Dupri, Trina didn't know who Tierra Whack was. And I thought that was dope. I didn't think it, because she didn't seem like, nah, I know who that was. Like, she didn't fuck with her. She was like, oh, I fuck with Philly. So, like, I'm sure I'm gonna like that. Like, I want to hear that. So, like, I thought it was dope that there are so many people out that you can't even really keep up. Like, that's how I viewed that when Trina said she didn't know who Tierra Whack was.
I mean, there are so many people out.
Right? There's so many girls out, you know, you can't really keep up with who's doing what and what's going on. So Jermaine making that comment, I'm like, this is ill-informed. Like, I don't know if because he is where he's at, I feel like it's nothing but niggas that have probably been sending mixtapes forever. But back in the day, you had Shauna out there, along with Rashida out there, and they wasn't rapping about being strippers. Like, yeah, she was rapping about her damn bubblegum. But Rashida ain't never made no record about being no stripper. And even if she did, it's like, you are from Atlanta, so maybe these are all the records that you're hearing. But, like, you, being the gatekeeper that you are, you can put up an ad or go out and seek dope women. Like, one thing I like about T-Pain is always represented for the stud rappers. I don't know what it is. Like, I remember back on Sisterhood of Hip Hop, T-Pain was out there looking at Sia, you know, trying to steal her from Tank. Like, you know, like, what's up? T-Pain put out a record with Young and May. Young and May is someone we never talk about enough. Young and May has been putting out fire record after fire record after fire record, and she's still not getting the acclaim I feel like she should have.
I know. So there, that one I don't get because she's so dope.
She's dope.
And she hit it off the gate. You call her Stephanie, I call her Heffany. Like, that still goes hard in the club.
But you know what? A lot of it has to do with the labels, too, because they are formula chasers. And so if the girls that are talking about their pussies are the ones that they keep pushing, then suddenly anyone that's not talking about their pussy doesn't even get an opportunity. They don't get a budget. You know what I mean? So yeah, that is the bigger problem. It's not so. And I even see a couple of people be like, yeah, but it's who y'all support. Yes, that is a problem too. But a lot of the times, the songs that are getting played over and over and over and have the budgets to really knock the, you know, music videos out the park, and even how the artist looks and the money that's behind them, the machine, it's usually whatever the labels want to push. Mm-hmm. So my issue is never who's rapping what. I couldn't care less. It's right. More so when they decide who gets to shine and who doesn't. So it's more so the actual gatekeepers, not JD, but the actual gatekeepers that are deciding what's the only rap that we can make popular. That's my real issue. I really don't care what people are rapping about.
Yeah. I mean,
because I think Rhapsody's super dope.
Yeah.
But like Rico Nasty is out here though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? She's doing the damn thing. From what I see, at least my perception of it, she's getting bigger and bigger by the day. Tierra Whack is huge too. Every time, I mean, I don't know, the clips on Twitter, people love her. She's always going viral. I don't know if that's translating into money in her pockets, but well, I feel like it might be a slower burn. But she's out here.
She's on the Lion King, the Gift album.
She's on the Lion King, the Gift album, handpicked by Beyonce. So it's going to get there. But I think it's a gatekeeper problem more so than anything else.
Mm-hmm. He can't even reach. He ain't talking about he the gatekeeper. You can't get nothing but the doggy door. Oh, that's God. What you keep.
Not the doggy door.
F-f-f- you know that sound it makes. That's all that nigga keep.
The music industry is a mess.
And it's been a mess for a long ass time. And it's... If it ain't one thing, it's another. Because it's like, I remember when iTunes was like the original problem. Like, it was like, oh, now everybody has to put their music up through this. Or like, you can only really get music through iTunes. And then now that we have this whole, because whenever I get a record off of Bandcamp or something like that, it's so hard and weird.
Think about
to,
that one time ad.
It's so hard. Right. It's so hard and weird to like drag and drop it into iTunes. And it almost feels like Apple got to be like
good shit on Bandcamp.
Too. Yeah, like good ass people that like even on SoundCloud, like those people you have to like import into your shit. But I feel like iTunes be trying to make it like harder for you to use that type of music. It's like,
of course.
Well, you didn't get it through our platform, so it's going to sound lower. And it's like, actually, this is higher quality than you guys provide. Like, but a lot of people still don't know shit like that.
So did they get rid of iTunes?
They're going to.
Yeah, they're splitting it.
So what happens to all the music you have on iTunes?
I know my shit better stay right where it's at.
That's some like, I'm trying to understand how that's going
to
work
then. They're going to give my money back.
Yeah, right. Imagine how much money they'd have to
give. Yeah, right. Okay.
Because I've been seeing a couple people on Twitter. It's so funny. I've been seeing a couple people on Twitter saying that their songs haven't been working.
Damn.
I'm like, don't play with me.
And they started that shit when they introduced. Remember everybody's iTunes library was getting compromised when they first introduced Apple Music. Mm-hmm. So we better not be going back to that. I know times are going back in this country, but damn, y'all too iTunes?
No, I have way too much music on iTunes. Like, that's just not even funny.
I'm not gonna lie, I might leave the iPhone pretty soon.
Really?
Oh, I ain't going that far.
You gonna do Android?
I haven't seen anything I liked, but I've been like, you know, I have all these apps on my phone and I've just been playing around with it. I'm like, I don't know if I don't like the interface anymore or what, but I'm like,
That's cool. I think people with Androids are cool.
I think if the right phone comes along, what it is? You know,
I'm like, you better be your own person.
I don't care for the blue bubbles no more. People be too demanding. I was in a group text. First of all, y'all know how I be about group text. I was in a group text that never showed up as a group text. So like, one random number texts me like, hey, y'all, blah, blah, blah.
You know why?
Why?
Because somebody in the group had an Android.
But see, don't group text me any damn way.
Oh, that's so all
don't,
that happens.
So don't group text me any fucking way. So
well, that's a different issue.
So like, I literally got like 7 different text threads of people that I've never talked to. Everybody confirmed that they was going to be somewhere. I was like, I don't know what y'all are talking about, where y'all at. This is some bullshit.
Random, but adding me to a group chat with people I don't know.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's like, don't see BCC me an email.
Why don't people ask permission?
BCC.
Or ask me, hey, I'm going to create a chat for, you know, this, that, and the other. Is it cool? Don't just add me. Don't just add me, because you know what I do? I don't respond.
I know, because that way you can maintain anonymity, and people that don't have your phone number won't know that it's you.
Oh, I leave.
It's so intrusive, and I agree. And to me, it's also lazy and impersonal. If you're having an event where you're inviting people that are contacts in your phone, the least you can do
is copy and paste and
make
name.
It personal. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the least you can do just to protect. You know what I'm saying? Like, make a motherfucker feel like you're actually inviting them. And also keep everybody out of everybody else's business. I hate that shit.
Ooh,
too,
I hate
friend.
That.
Copy paste.
A friend of mine did it the other day, and just to let her know, when she was like sending messages, I never responded. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, I responded to her directly. Mm-hmm. I know she was probably like, "Oh, okay." I'm like,
now,
"Why?"
And
you
if
do
she
that?
Don't know, now she know.
Okay. This girl I used to work with, she was having like a cookout, and so she put me in a group with like her man, and like 10 other people.
Oh,
and I did
no.
left the group chat. Like, I immediately like, "Oh no, this is not for me." And so then her and her man, they put me well, the man. He put me in a side group with just us. It was like, "Oh, so you too good for a group chat?"
Yes.
I said, "Absolutely, black, salutely, don't do this to me again." And like, we continued on in that chat until I left too. I was like, well, I'll leave this one too. Shit, I'm not playing.
And group chats are stressful because you come back to your phone, and it, especially me, because I don't have alert sounds. My phone's always on silent. So I'll come back and it'll be 365 texts. I'll be like, wow, somebody died.
And the bubble's still pushing.
And then you look and people are talking about nothing.
Bullshit. Sometimes it's fun.
To
me, it depends.
Like, ours is fun.
Yeah. I feel like I don't like temporary group chats. I like group chats that are longstanding. Yeah, you know, but for events, special events, or like for invitation purposes, they're a bit irritating.
Just
they
email
are.
All of us.
And BCC on the email.
It's going to everyone's phone.
BCC. It's very imperative. Because people don't know the CC and the BCC.
Right. Be cool, cunt.
Thank you. Please.
And that's the worst, too. Now everybody knows your email.
Oh, my God.
Because
you know there's somebody always looking through like, oh, maybe I can network. Like, no.
Don't send me shit.
Don't you do it. But hey.
You're so silly.
Hello, beloved. It's like, goodbye.
So that was a very random hot button.
Yep.
But, you know, a lot is going on in the world. So we got to keep it light to balance these energies, because woo-wee.
Woo-chow.
Woo-chow. Woo-chalay.
We all need someone to talk to, a person who can support us through the rough patches or even the everyday ups and downs of life. That's where Talkspace comes in. Talkspace is therapy for how we live today, mobile, affordable, and available when you need it. Simply provide your preferences for therapy, and Talkspace will match with one of their 5,000-plus therapists the very same day. Then you can send your therapist unlimited text, audio, picture, or video messages from anywhere at any time. And 1 month of therapy on the Talkspace platform costs about the same amount as a single face-to-face session. No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. Join more than 1 million who feel happier with Talkspace. Again, Talkspace is very dope. It's convenient. You can do it on the go. It doesn't feel like a chore or a task. It's just more so keeping yourself accountable. And it's actually really good to see how far you come along with your person. And you can just kind of text them and send them little pictures and audio. You don't have to really sit down and drive out, meet, and get dressed up. It's convenient. That's annoying sometimes.
You're like, such damn, a millennial.
I am. Listen, anything that can make my life a little bit easier. And if it's going to help make my mind, put my mind at ease too, why not go for both? I'm just saying. So Talkspace has more than 5,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges we all face. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com and use the code ZONE to get $65 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's ZONE and Talkspace.com.
So let's bring in the wind chimes. So speaking of keeping it light, when was the last time you guys went to the park and just walked barefoot on the grass?
I don't do that. No offense to anybody who does, but I don't do that.
Why are y'all like this? Why don't you do that?
Because, like, I feel like that's just a little bit too risky. You know, this is New York. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot going on. And then my feet. Like, I got to protect my feet.
What's risky about it?
My feet.
Give us some examples.
Dirt, grass, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the fuck I'm going to expose the skin on my feet to. What if I have a reaction to something and I end up with my feet look like bubble wrap under the bottom or something? Like, no, like, I can't.
Asante, you laughed. Why don't you do it?
Oh, I wasn't raised that way.
No?
The shoes outside.
Okay.
Unless I'm at, like, the beach or, like, if I just know, like, it's, like, some grassy knoll somewhere. No, I wouldn't do that either.
So if we're, like, a meadow having a picnic, wouldn't take off your shoes?
No.
No, because outside.
If we're on the blanket, I might take off my shoes.
On the blanket, we
but
cool.
I'm not taking off my socks to play in the grass. I don't need my feet to feel the dewy blades.
None of that. Thank you. Mm-mm. What about at the beach?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the beach.
So
of course.
Sand, yes. Grass, no.
Because there's water there to, like, wash. So you know what I'm saying? You hold your shoes, and then when you get ready to exit, you know how it is. You run them under that shower thing.
No, I'm country boys. I'm not a country boy like that.
Welcome back. I'm so sorry.
So here's the thing. I really love y'all's faces.
Say sand is more poisonous than grass.
No. Listen. So NASA, I was reading this journal where NASA says that the flow of liquid iron, right, in the Earth's core creates electric currents. So think of the Earth as being literally electric.
You want me to go get my feet shocked walking outside?
Okay.
So in turn, these electric currents, right, they create a magnetic field, like a magnetic force field. So you can say that the surface of the Earth has these electrons, because these electrons are actually mobile within this magnetic field, and they're negatively charged. Don't think negative as, like, literally negative. It's just the charge. So the body, the human body, we're also bioelectric, which is super cool. We're all, like, electric. It makes me think of a movie, like those cartoons that Asante be watching.
Where you got to join up with the robot?
Well, you got to join up and link up. You sync up, literally, your electricity with the Earth's electricity. So the way that this works is that free radicals in the body, you know how we're made up of atoms, right? So free radicals are essentially unstable atoms that lost their electrons, essentially what it is. They never had one, they lost it. And the only way that these free radicals can become stable again is if they gang up on other atoms and swipe the electrons. This is what's called oxidative stress, and it causes a shitload of problems in our bodies when that happens. When we have that imbalance where our body's almost, like, too positively charged, it can cause things like clogged arteries, rheumatoid arthritis, vision decline, a lot of age-related appearances like wrinkles, loss of elasticity in your skin, you know, when your skin isn't as taut.
The people that look like they be outside barefoot. Stop it. Go ahead, friend.
I can't. Changes even in like your hair texture and things like inflammation. So there's this thing called grounding and earthing. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, little somebody named Hans.
So this is something I've done for many, many years, but it wasn't until recently that I was like, you know what? I'm wondering what it is that it actually does. Because for me, it was an intuitive practice where when I felt like my cortisol levels, like the stress hormone, when it was too high, you know, sometimes you feel out of whack. For me, what would calm me down is to go to Central Park and literally like put my blanket out. I usually buy some fruit and then just be barefoot on the grass. And that always calms me down. Ha's funny enough that you bring her up. She was making fun of me the other day because something happened that would normally stress me out. So she called me to check up on me. And I told her, I was like, I'm in the park barefoot. Like, I'm totally fine. And she was cracking up. She was like, of course you are.
Right.
But it's a practice that really has helped me. So to see the science broken down like that just made it even cooler. Because now you can, obviously, aside from knowing what's literally happening, but it, to me, the visual of the earth being this, you know, magnetic force field and being literally electric and then us being bioelectric and you're like literally syncing up where your body might have these deficiencies, where it's literally the electrons that are not ganging up properly. You know what I'm saying? But then the earth has these electrons for free that are literally right there at the surface in the magnetic field. And it's just, they're saying that I was reading the Journal of Environmental and Public Health, in case anybody wants to look it up. They have an article, a journal called Earthing: Health Implications of Reconnecting the Human Body to the Earth's Surface Electrons. And I love it because the way they described it is omnipresent, this is what it says, throughout the environment is a surprisingly beneficial yet overlooked global resource for health maintenance. Disease prevention, and clinical therapy, and it's the surface of the earth itself. The surface of the planet is electrically conductive, a limitless and endless supply of free electrons, stabilizing our internal bioelectrical environment for the normal functioning of all body systems, organs, tissues, and cells.
Get out of here.
Tell me that's just not cool.
That is.
So things like chronic illness, immune disorders, inflammatory diseases, which you guys have known, I've been complaining about inflammation at the base of my spine, which I'd like to say that I no longer have.
Hey!
Thank you. I've been working on it all year and I feel so much better. But all of those things have increased dramatically in the human body in people because the modern lifestyle, if you think about it, has increasingly separated humans from the flow of the Earth's electrons. Even our footwear, back in the day, you have to think about it, people wore like animal hides. Mm. And when your foot sweats, that's still conductive to the earth.
Yeah.
So the electrons still had a way to flow into your body. But now we wear rubber, plastic, all kinds of insulated footwear that doesn't allow that flow to come in. Think about it. We're indoors. Like, you guys laughed when I asked when was the last time you were barefoot. You're like, hell no. Most of us don't live lifestyles that create that connection with the earth's surface, whether, you know, it's cultural or just how you were raised or even just environmental. We're all in buildings like sardines in these concrete shoeboxes all day. You know what I mean? Half of us spend most of the day in offices. And the average person, like we said, does not walk around barefoot unless you're me.
I remember being younger in the park barefoot and ants biting me. And
oh,
so,
no, the little fire ants.
So, you know, since that, we don't really rock.
And it gets tricky, let's be real, because, you know, in New York, you might step on a syringe. Ooh. Or vials, or dog shit, or glass, human shit, glass. I mean, you name it. It's not like the city is kept up well for you to like even feel comfortable being barefoot. So I completely understand why that's not part of a lot of people's lifestyles.
So where we got to go, Wyoming or some shit?
But no, because the thing is, the conductivity is in grass, in dirt, and in sand. So if you can get to the beach, you know, to the sand. They're saying even with just 30 minutes of you allowing that conductivity, it in no way imply that, like, if you have inflammation, you go stand on the earth and it's going to be gone. That's not what it's saying right. at all. But it's saying the earth is literally an antioxidant, which is what neutralizes and stabilizes the free radicals that over time do damage the cells in your body. So you literally have this healing force field that can connect to your body and provide where there's a deficiency. So it's more so about creating a regimen where you connect to the earth through this grounding on a regular basis. Mm. Now, like with everything, there are tons of science journals. There's actually this website called, I think it's called Less Likely, where they like critically assess science journals and go ham on what's bullshit. And they were tearing, you know, these articles apart. But I believe in it because I have experienced it myself. Like, I know that my cortisol levels drop if I can just get barefoot somewhere on the grass. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I've experienced it myself. So there's going to be critics with everything. But like I always say, you'll know the truth by how it makes you feel.
Right.
That should be your science project. I always say that on the show. It may be true. It may be quackery. I suggest you be your own scientist, something to try. The beauty of this is that it's nothing you have to buy. Nothing you have to put, you know, topically or consume or eat. Literally, go stand on the grass. If you're blessed to be near a beach, go stand on the sand.
Yes.
30 minutes minimum. Try to create a regimen. Maybe be like, I'm going to do this grounding process on a daily basis for 30 days. And keep note, maybe even a little journal to see, like, how did you feel on those days as opposed to the days that you didn't ground?
Friend, you sure if we do this at the beach, we ain't going to get electrocuted?
I was going to say, because I do feel like a lot, I just thought it was the Pisces in me, but I feel like a lot freer at the beach. Like, it's nothing like digging your feet into the sand.
But this is why. And I was watching a TED Talk where the guy was, this one scientist was saying, and, you know, aside from the Journal of Environmental and Public Health, which obviously, I mean, you could trust that. And then even health, the health tab under the U.S. News, like, I was looking at accredited sources because I know how people are. But on a TED Talk, there was a doctor who was saying that most people, when they go on vacation and they come back feeling so rested, he's like, yes, of course, the fact that you weren't at work is going to help you get rested. But one very overlooked aspect of vacationing, primarily at beaches, is that conductivity that you take part in. And you know, people tend to be at the beach for hours. And usually you're at the beach every day when you go on vacation. Like, you kind of go ham with the conductivity. And so people don't realize that they're actually, like, those electrons charging that are coming up from. Yeah, it's like your phone. You're literally recharging your body. And then let's not talk about vitamin D, which I'm going to do a whole other wellness segment on that, because I've been taking vitamin D supplements and keeping track. I wanted to keep track of the progress before doing a wellness segment. I've been doing it for 2 months now, and I definitely want to talk about it. But that combination of the electrons and the magnetic field, isn't that cool to think about, though? Like, the earth is literally supplying the charge that you need for your body.
The true mother.
But doesn't that make you kind of reconsider?
Yeah, it does.
Like,
it
shout
does.
Out to the Shindellas. It does make me reconsider.
Right. And I get it. People have their preferences. But when you think of it in terms of science and health and what it provides for you, this like healing support for your body, just to make sure you handle the inflammation and any other ailments, a lot of autoimmune diseases going around, this is something to consider to add to your regimen. I love that it's global. I love that it's free. I love that for the most part, it's accessible. I understand not everybody, you know, can ground depending on where you live. But if you can find a plot of grass somewhere and some dirt,
get your ass.
Get busy.
And it has to be connected to the earth, right? I can't just go buy me a plot from Home Depot and put it on my roof and just, you know, go touch that grass.
Well, here's the thing. They do sell earthing sheets and mats for people that want to put it under their desks, whether at home or in the office. they have mats that you can put on top of your mattress. Earthing pads, that's what they're called. Mm. And you can look them up and it creates the same conductivity. Now, here's the thing. You have to plug those in because it's using electric conductivity. I know that's the only thing that makes certain people hesitate because it's like, I don't want to sleep on a mat that's plugged in.
So I literally might just, I should just go outside for that.
I prefer
to have to like plug something in and do all that. No.
I personally prefer it just because that just gives me the heebie-jeebies, but that could be me being completely closed-minded.
I don't want to be put back to the earth after that.
The heebies and all of the jeebies. Okay.
But, you know, it's trying to recreate the same conductivity. Mm-hmm. So I get it, but I say go out in the grass if you can. But if you can't, I also don't want to scare anybody off. Please do your research. Look up the earthing mats and pads and sheets. They have bedding. I mean, the whole nine, the whole shebang.
I want an earthing depend. How about that?
But grounding, earthing, the names are interchangeable. Do your research. If you're someone who already does this practice, I would love to hear your feedback. Maybe like me, you didn't even know the science behind it, but it's something that you intuitively knew calmed you down. Something to consider.
I'm going to lay on my back and I'm going to take a little trivet. What's the little small shovels called? That you plant flowers with.
A hoe.
Anyway, no.
Ain't it a hoe?
Why'd you say it like that?
Speaking of that, I'm gonna use one to dig a little ditch for my ass so I can lay down I lay down in the dirt, I can earth. That's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, just a little trend, little ditch for my butt cheeks.
The perfect ending to the wellness segment. Grounding, earthing, look it up, assing. And that's it for week, Asante, what you got for us, Mr. Music Man?
Just the Music Man segment. We've been talking about reality TV and music. I want to talk about live performances. I just want to talk about some things that I've seen that I want to just talk about. Hopefully you guys have seen them. If you haven't, we can talk about them somehow still. I want to give a shout out. I think I shout out Ari Lennox last week. I'm not sure if I have.
She's so funny.
She debuted on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Performing. That was her TV debut? Yep. Oh my God.
Yeah, she's performed all over the place. So it's kind of like, oh, she's a seasoned professional girl. But it was her TV debut and it went off without a hitch. She looked great. Backup was amazing. They had the little choreography going. She did a couple of songs. Jimmy Fallon came out at the end, showed her love, and pulled up Shea Butter Baby on like a vinyl. It made me want to get it on the vinyl.
Oh, I gotta look it up.
I did. You gotta watch.
That's
she did.
So cool.
She started the shit off like singing her face off and then made them jam. I was like, this is great.
I love her so much.
Yes, Ari Lennox is the
She's
love.
Like blowing up right now, and it is
rightfully so
exciting to see.
It's great.
I don't know that I've witnessed someone like personally blow up like that,
yeah.
Like in real time, like actually seeing it happen.
Yeah,
a lot of my friends either like they just never really got to that point, mm-hmm. or like they're still working on it, or oh, I got in their life like when they had already been there. But this feels like so fascinating to catch. Like she's blowing up.
It's so crazy because I remember seeing her perform at the beginning of the year when she was performing with Black in Atlanta. And I remember just being so happy to be in Atlanta for so many reasons. And she was like the perfect cherry on top to add to that because she brought out Earth Gang at the beginning of the year. And these are all people that have been working for so long.
Earth Gang?
Earth Gang.
God. Oh, my God.
Justin is hilarious.
The wind chimes are gone. So yeah, it's just dope to watch a lot of these people hustle and how hard they've been working. And it's even doper to listen to them on the Dreamville project and how they slay all the people on there.
They're really good.
And everybody's great.
I feel like they're super slept on.
I don't mean that they slay like, you know, everybody else sucks on there. The whole project, like everybody that's been placed on there does such a great job of shining in their moment. But it's just something special about Ari Lennox to me. So I just have to shout her out as many chances as I can get. So yeah, I want to shout out her performance on Jimmy Fallon. I think Megan Thee Stallion performed on Jimmy Kimmel. You know, there's all Jimmy's in late night.
Jimmy right. Stable.
But but Megan did her, she did a little mashup too. She did like the first couple lines of Riller and then went right into Big Ol' Freak. Had a couple of background dancers, some freak. Backup singers. So it was dope to watch the Stallion, you know, do real hot girl shit. I just love watching these people make their TV debuts and really just shut shit down. Like Megan, I watched her perform at the BET, the red carpet, the blue carpet rather. And it was really, really dope to watch Megan on that stage, like in that live outside. Cause you know, the pre-show be hot. she was out there rocking the stage and like really shut it down and, you know, made Carucci and Terrence J. laughed really hard at the end of it. So could you imagine Terrence Howard up there on the stage? Yeah, we got a Megan Thee Stallion up here. Anyway, so yeah, I just want to shout my girls out because I love supporting them and talking to people doing cool shit. I can't wait to watch more people do really dope shit on SNL performances like that. Like those are performances where people really get to kind of show their ass. So whenever those performances happen, like I don't know if it needs to be Lizzo on SNL. I don't know if it needs to be, you know, Ari Lennox on SNL, but whoever's coming up next on SNL, like I like performances like that. Those performances rather.
I do think it's funny that we see these people on the internet like for months, years, and then like then the TV catches up.
Right.
You know, like it's like it's so late, low key. Like for them to be debuting now, I'm like, woo, y'all are late.
Right.
After all this time, always early, never late. Let's just put that out there.
What were you going to say?
That it was funny you mentioned Lizzo, Ari Lennox, and performance because they just announced yesterday.
Oh, yeah, their tour.
Yeah.
They're going
Ari
on the road
Lennox
together.
Is opening for Lizzo like they're going on the road. Yeah. That's dope. And
that is dope.
You know, I told you Lizzo won me over with her performance at Terminal 5. So I'm definitely down to go back. And the fact that Ari is going
to
be there.
After you perform, you thought to yourself, bitch, you emotional.
I was emotional. I started hitting the shoot and the flute.
Yes. I'm telling you. So yeah, I wanted to shout them out. I also want to shout out Lil Nas X. Been listening to, you know what?
He's blowing up.
I really, I don't know why, because you know, the project's so short. So I just be like, let me put this on and see how I feel about it today. And every time I listen to it, I like it more and more. Like, I liked it when I first heard it, but listening to it more, I'm like, okay. Like, the Cardi feature was really, really dope. It didn't seem like, because you know, when they were showing up a lot of places together, people were like, oh, well, you know, he just did that feature because they was doing the road thing together, so she just did it for him. Even if that was the case, she did a great job. It's not like she gave him some slap verses or whatever. Right. The record actually is really dope. What I like about Lil Nas X is he can make really dope records. Like, the records that I've heard, you know, the one with Billy Ray, the one with Cardi, I feel like they would be strong records without those features, but they are great features. So shout out to Lil Nas X.
Do you like the remix of the remix?
I do.
I haven't heard it.
You ever heard it?
Who's on the remix of the remix?
Young Thug and Ramsey.
Mason Ramsey.
Oh!
And Mason slid.
First of all, Mason
slid. Do you hear me?
First of all, yes.
I wasn't
and
surprised.
Yes again.
I ain't got no giddy up and giddy out my way.
Yes again.
Slid.
Yes and yes again.
Shit.
Young Thug was a yes, but Mason Ramsey's a yes.
Guess what
again.
Color Young Thug's horse is? Because you know how everybody gets a horse or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Young Thug's horse is green. And
slime
Mason
green.
Ramsey's little pony is like
a little white pony.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I saw him, Lil Nas X was on Twitter asking if, because he apparently wants to keep releasing remixes. So he asked what people,
song.
I know, I'm ooh. Like, just give us a new one.
Well, I want the,
he wants Dolly Parton and Meg Thee Stallion.
Yeah, together.
And I can see yeah,
you see the horses?
Yes. Yes.
And
you want to talk about having the horses in the back.
And then Mariah Carey's another one. People were saying it'd be dope. It was a unicorn with glitter.
Well, I'm the person who said glitter.
You said
horse.
That?
I want these hoes to know. Yes. I was the one who said the horse would be glitter. And
cute.
To evolve that, I would like it to be Swarovski crystal. I think that would be yes.
Can't you see it, friend?
I would.
So I'm fine with those. And today he was trolling us again because Bruno Mars congratulated Lil Nas X on beating his record at the Hot 100 for maintaining, you know, staying at the top.
Yeah.
So he beat Bruno Mars's record. Now he's only got, is it one or two more weeks before he beats one
Mariah, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Damn,
and that's
bro.
How it got to the conversation about
I think
the
he's going to beat it too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to drop off anytime soon.
I just would like to say how random of a song. I remember watching random memes and hearing that song in them and going to the comments to figure out what the fuck that shit was. Like, what the fuck is this song? It kind of go in a little, like I'm mad at it,
this
but it kind of go in a little
record.
Bit.
Wait till you hear Mason's verse.
I can't wait to hear that.
Mason sounds so cute. I can't get over it. His little voice coming in too is just
snapped.
Like the contrast of his little high pitched sound. He's so cute.
Wow. So yeah, nothing big for Music Man. Just want to shout out a bunch of people. And now this is the part where I get to hear about what you guys are shouting out. Because you get to tell me what you've been listening to lately. Now, friend, you know we always start with the ladies first, okay? So you need to tell me what the ladies' verse has been. What song you been singing in the shower or putting on the repeat? You know, they say this is a big, rich town.
I just come from the poorest part.
When is that coming back on?
August something. Like, it's about to come back, like, very soon.
Whoa. It's like the last season too, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. Then he said it wasn't. So we kind of, I'm assuming it still is,
Angela,
but
please.
We don't really know.
Please, Angela.
So I have, God, man, Spotify really messed me up. I'm going to complain about this every week. Them taking out my recently listened. That's so annoying.
Okay.
I still really been on my Afrobeat. Like, yes. Y'all are just going to have to accept that, especially all summer long.
Afrobeat and all summer.
So Wizkid and Larry Gaga, which made me laugh when I saw that, because at first I was
Larry fucking Gaga.
They have a record together called Low. That's super dope. That's how it goes. My sherry coco make a bet you like that though. Only one girl with me, I mean like Laga. Every time I see your face, now so I just stag out. Yo, go down on the low, down on the low. Make it do, I'm on the low, make it do, I'm on the low. Baby, no one has to know, baby, no one has to know. Baby, my body will, maybe my body will. Go down on the low, down on the low. Make it do, I'm on the low. So dope. It's super chill.
Yeah.
It's more on the vibey
that
side.
Mellow.
Slap a hoe, get down on the low. I love that song, friend.
So that's Larry Gaga and Wizkid. Wizkid's one of my faves. And then I'm trying to see because it's just so many. I'm like, who can I pick?
Down on the low, down on the low.
And then Niniola has a song called Boda Sadiq. I really hope I'm saying that right. And this is how it goes. Will you promise me not to touch Oreja? Boda Sadiq, I just had a sip.
Give me your dick.
I highly doubt those are the words. Those are the only two I'm gonna give you.
Sorry, friend. See, if we would have just shut the fuck up.
Oh, you know what? No,
song.
I'm lying. Hold on. My boo. First of all, can I just tell you how much I love Bad Bunny?
Yes.
Are y'all fans?
Yes.
Why did I write Bad Honey?
We're only fans.
I know. Too many things happened at the same damn time. Jeez.
So he has a song with J Balvin called...
That's what they song called?
You know what? Why did the OnlyFans joke just
you
hit me?
No, friend, not now. Oh my God.
Hey.
Man, why did just.
That was a good
so
one, wasn't it, friend?
That was amazing.
Get me out of here, please.
Wow. So
I'm sorry.
I feel like juicy.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, good woman, Bad Bunny. Here we go. I'm telling you.
All right, I got it. So Bad Bunny and J Balvin and Mr. Easy. Oh God, this is just not helping.
Match May.
Jeez.
Have a song called Como Un Bebe.
Oh, I bet they do.
Oh my God. Why is this still happening?
Which I love because it fuses Latin trap.
It fuses.
With Afrobeat. Which to me is beautiful. Those are like the I'm trying. I'm gonna just play the song.
peleamos otra vez. Otra vez, otra vez. Otra vez, otra vez. Trato, trato, a veces me habla. Y a veces no tan bien. ¿Por qué? Como un bebé. Mami ya, ya. Me cansé de pelear. No. Baby ya, ya. No esperes que yo responda. Y solo dame un break, break, break. Creo que tú jodes como la ley. No digas de nuevo que trátame bien, que así que baila pa' mí.
Baila pa' mí.
Me gusta la manera cuando me lo muevas.
Así que baila pa' mí.
Baila pa' mí.
That record is huge. I've literally was dancing in my house. You ever clean and you're playing music and half the time, it literally took me all day to just clean my bathroom because I could not stop dancing.
Yeah,
I was like, this is a mess. But this song, so good. Do you guys think there's already a hit of the summer, or do you think it hasn't come out yet?
Yes, there is.
Old Town Road.
Be honest about it. Well, that is just man, obviously like the song of the year.
Right.
But, you know, like they said, we dragged Saweetie for a long time.
And she has a record of the summer.
She does.
My type.
To me, the first song, the official song of the summer to me is Beyonce's Before I Let Go cover.
Fair.
I think that just covers like all bases. But aside from that, what's really getting people going right now is My Type by Saweetie.
Damn, Saweetie.
She got one. You know, you gotta give credit where she
and
actually
she
got a couple.
She just broke the Hot 100 this
She did?
Week.
Good. Yep. Good for her.
The record broke the Hot 100, which is a first for her. And she's the one that made this the 7th woman rapper to enter the Hot 100, like at
Go
the
ahead.
Same time right now.
Good for Sweetie.
Or rather, maybe
track.
It's in 2019. I think that's what it is.
And shout out to DJ Miss Milan, who's her Saweetie's DJ now.
Oh, yeah.
Traveling
super
the world,
dope.
Like killing it
so
with her.
So cool to see her in like Berlin and all over the place. So, yeah, I'm down with Saweetie having the song of the summer. I think that record is dope.
That's it is a dope type. Record.
I love the way she yells that.
My type.
My type.
What about you, Dustin Ross? What have you been listening to lately?
So first of all, I want to give a shout out to Missy Misdemeanor Elliott's Super Duper Fly album. It came out 22 years ago yesterday.
Every time you do this. 22?
Her album, Been Drinking. 22 years ago yesterday, y'all. That album came out.
Yes.
Game-changing album. Shout out to Missy. We ain't even got to wax all poetic like we normally
it
would.
Just is what
we
it
know
is.
What the fuck time it is with Missy Elliott. So shout out to her. Then as far as what I've been listening to, my girl, my boo, my woman rapper who I love came out with a new track featuring Big Sean. Shout out to my baby Cash Doll. She's got a feel good anthem about just making it out of less than ideal circumstances. And really, it's low key an inspirational song. And another thing that's dope about it is there's no sticker. Like, they don't curse on the song.
You
really don't know that because it's not like it sounds like Kids Bop or Baby Shark. It's a real song, like, you don't mind playing. But it's clean. So shout out to Cash Doll and Big Sean. It's called Ready Set. And she just released it. Here's a clip that I'm finna play for you right now.
I don't go Dutch. I don't never pay. Booed up in Belize. LMA.
Ready Set. Better yet. Got this bitch rocking like we never left. Big time. Big, big time. All she want from me is just a little time. Flooded out the venue. Hey, I look better than what I've been through.
So it's just a really upbeat summer song. Really dope. That's what I've been
listening to. Is her record featuring Big Sean?
Cast Out's featuring Big Sean.
Oh, word.
Dope.
And she also has a collab with Iggy Azalea, believe it or not. That comes out this Friday.
The picture is cute.
Themed to Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's what the whole video is themed to. So it's going to be really cute. So shout out to KD.
Cash Doll.
No, Trey 5.
Well, Blood Orange, they put out their project.
Love it. Beginning to end.
All of it is great.
Did you listen,
Frank? I did. It's super good.
There's not one track I want to single out, so it's kind of hard for me to just pick something to play, but I'm just going to play Gold Teeth just because I like the fact that Blood Orange is so unique, and so for you to have Project Pat feature but still like be true to your sound. And
Tinashe.
Yeah, and Tinashe, yeah.
Justine Skye's on it, too.
Yes, she is.
Which
yeah.
is cool.
So, yeah, it's a lot of cool people on the project. So, listen to this song. It's called Go Teeth. Gangsta Boo's on this track too with Tinashe, mm-hmm. but I'm not gonna make it that far. So just to give you a little piece of the vibe. I'm from the street, nigga. You got some beef, nigga. Yeah, nigga, yeah, nigga. We keep the dope cooking. And where I'm from, grown men don't take no ass whooping. Yeah, nigga, I got go deep, nigga. I'm from the street, nigga. You got some beef, nigga. Yeah, nigga, yeah, nigga. We keep the dope cooking. And where I'm from, grown men don't take no ass whooping. Feeling right, feeling right, feeling nice, feeling nice. Check the price. So yeah,
I just,
I'm telling you, I love how vibey Blood Orange is. And just to really let you know, there's a song, excuse me, the song after that is called Berlin. It features Porches and Ian Isaiah. Porches is this group that I've been listening to. I don't know why they make this really like dope, like sad summery music. It almost gives me a little Lana Del Rey. So I really like Porches, but I just love the unique sound that Blood Orange, they bring with every track. And even with people like Project Pat and Gangsta Boo on the track. So I just had to share that.
I really love Dark and Handsome.
Yes. Oh, my God.
That might be my favorite song.
I love Torah Moi, so please. Yes. But yeah, please just check out Blood Orange. The name of the project is Angel's Pulse. It's amazing. I think it's end only 30, it's like 32 minutes.
14 songs, right?
Yep, 14
I'll give
songs.
It 14 out of 14.
Yeah. Damn.
I will.
It's I would too.
Beginning, yeah. End to end. Like.
Yeah. And Blood Orange has always made great music, really dope visuals. So go check out the visuals that go with the project as well. I think they have 2 or 3 videos out.
So, yeah. I didn't catch those.
Yeah, I watched one of them the other day. So yeah, I'm going to go back and rewatch and we can revisit. So yeah, that's it for the Music Man segment.
Lively offers bras and undies that blur the aesthetic lines of lingerie, active and swim, and takes the best elements of high style and functionality from each to create an entirely new category of lingerie.
Ooh.
Lively is where high style meets ultimate comfort with soft fabrics, lounge-worthy fits, and clever details to support your life. Wear it all day because it's the most comfortable bra you'll ever wear. And Lively offers a range of bra styles for all different body types, available in 32A to 44 triple D.
So,
choose from bralettes. Shout out to all the triple D's out there.
Okay.
Choose from bralettes to t-shirt bras, push-up bras, plunge bras, and no-wire bras to find your new go-to piece. Lively believes in charging one price for all women. So it's always one price for all, any style, any color, any size. Use a step-by-step fit guide to find the perfect fit for you and enjoy free and easy returns. What I love about it, going back to the wireless bra joke. No, all jokes aside, I'm actually wearing one now under a mesh tank top. And ooh. Normally you have to put like another tank top under a mesh tank top. But because it has like a cool aesthetic and vibe to the bra, I didn't even have to put anything else under the mesh tank top. So I love it. It does do what it says in the ad being high style.
Listen, when it said the aesthetic lines of lingerie, active and swim, taking the best elements of high style and functionality, I was like, well, damn.
I love it.
I don't wear bras, but I know if I did, I would rather have a Lively one than a dead one.
And that's facts.
So for a limited time, get $10 off your first order by visiting wearlively.com/friendzone and entering friendzone at checkout. That's wearlively.com/friendzone. Promo code friendzone, only available in the U.S.
Now we're going to move on over to TV land. Dustin Ross, tossing the ball back in your court. What you got for us?
Euphoria and Pose are the two best shows airing on TV right now. So I think that's a great place to begin and end this week.
I'm not watching Pose no more, and I'm not gonna rewatch. I don't want to spoil it.
We literally got quiet, like,
because I don't want to spoil it. But last week's episode really fucked me up.
Well, if they ain't watched right now, that's on.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, we're gonna have to talk about it.
Right.
It just really fucked me up.
I thought it was the ultimate artistic expression as an actor to sacrifice your character as part of a series in the name of something as big and as important as violence against trans women of color specifically, that's like the coup de grace as an actor.
And
you know
a hit
what I
mean? Show at that.
On a hit show as your character is peaking in interest, right?
Yeah.
Candy was literally my favorite character on the show. I told you guys that weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they chose to kill her at that point when we were just, I mean, it's season 2, episode 4, right? So we were just becoming like really attached to her. Her role was expanding more and more weekly. And for them to take her from us, I thought it just really drove the point home about the loss that people who are close to trans women of color and any trans women, period, that are murdered experience. So, and honey, when you're an actor, when you're an artiste,
like that,
something like that, an opportunity like that for your exit from a project to be done in the name of speaking to something as large as that, it just gets no better. So shout out to Angelica Ross.
Yes.
She's already been cast as a series regular, one of the leads in American Horror Story.
That made me happy though, I have to say. Low key, I got sad, like, wait a minute.
Right. I know
I
you
would
wanted
like
something
seeing
dope
her
for
every
her.
Week, but now I'm like, oh, okay, she's on American
And she's
going to
be perfect
Story.
On there. The way that she was as Candy, you know she's going to be perfect on American Horror Story.
I hope it's a good role, like a good, juicy leading role. You know what I mean?
The thing is, she has range because she's been acting for a while. And so not all of the roles that she's played have been as, I guess, you know, charged in the personality department as Candy was. So it'll be really interesting to see how she plays on a cast that is a part of a project that's horror related, especially a American Horror Story this season. You know, it's an anthology series. They change it every season. So this season it is called AHS 1984 and it's themed to the slasher film. So like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, all that kind of stuff. And Ryan Murphy was quoted as saying that Angelica's character in this series and in this incarnation of the series is unforgettable. He said she's transitioning into an unforgettable role on in the American Horror Story family. So it's Ryan Murphy, you know, working with him is a great thing because if he likes you and he really believes in your talent, he'll keep your ass working.
Right.
So shout out to Angelica Ross for landing in a great place.
Yeah.
I thought the episode was cool. The way that they gave us closure as fans. Of course, they were fantasy scenes where the cast was talking to the spirit of Candy or whatever and kind of making peace with whatever loose ends they still had untied with her. But it definitely made me feel a little bit better. Oh, the family.
The family. Ooh, child.
The family.
And you know what? It fucked me up because when she was like, oh, yeah, and thanks for trying with my parents. Like when she said that.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was. And it was just kind of like, damn, that's sad though. Because, you know, she was, because especially with gay and trans, like, you know, with families, kind of like, you might get it, you might not. But then to see her get that closure later anyway, I was like, oh.
And also, I thought it was dope that they showed her parents the dynamic that they played as far as the father being more supportive and more open to accepting, quote unquote, her. Thought that was really dope to see. And performance wise, to me, like the scene where Candy was talking to her mom, that's got to be submitted for like consideration in some way next season, next award season. Especially since Pose now has the attention, which congratulations to Pose for being nominated for 6 Emmys, friend.
6 Emmys.
Like you said.
That's so massive.
With that kind of attention on them and on their work, I just think it's a great thing. It can only mean good things for the series and the character. So I definitely wanted to spend a little time just talking about Pose and give Candy her flowers from us too. She was my favorite. So she was my favorite. I actually had a great conversation with Angelica Ross on a rooftop about 2 weeks ago, just about working and really taking your opportunities seriously and really, really maximizing your impact.
Amen.
Really great conversation. Lots of expletives. We laughed. It was great. So, and she kept saying how it was actually the week before episode 4 when we had this conversation, and she kept saying how next week was her week. She was like, you guys have to see the episode next week. You're really going to be moved. Like, the and then
I was. Wow, who knew?
I was old.
Shout out to them and shout out to Pray Tell.
I have to say, the good thing about them having 6 Emmy nominations, that means that budget is about to open open.
Work.
Boom, okay?
Man, and the season 3 is about to be bananas.
The more money a show like that has access to, it can only get better.
Exactly.
Tell more detail.
The costume work, the stories they can tell. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they can travel. Like, that'll be so dope.
I hope they sew up another body, too. I thought that was so
interesting.
No, let's
see.
But anyway, Okay, so Euphoria, second show that I'm just completely like enamored with. I'm blown away by Euphoria for so many different reasons. The soundtrack, I think, is just everything about this show is just great. It's beautiful to look at. I love the fact that they title all of the episodes after hip hop songs. This week's episode was called 03 Bonnie and Clyde. I love Kat and everything that she's doing
Kat's with this whole time.
Like, she is going the fuck off right now, okay?
Live life.
I love her outfits, though.
I love her outfits. In the scene where they showed her walking through the mall and the narration of that scene, what she was saying about how there's nothing more powerful than a fat girl who doesn't give a fuck and is confident. When she said that and we saw her walking through the mall and getting these stares and this attention from everyone, and instead of her retreating or feeling like it was too much, she kind of took ownership of it. That just spoke to me because, you know, I like shit like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm obsessed with her. If you've ever been through anything in high school where like some sort of scandal was involved or your business got exposed, this episode was something that you would have a bigger understanding of. I love the way when you do a project that's centered around the high school experience, there's certain universal themes that all those projects have, right? Relationships, love stories, character development issues where certain characters have self-esteem issues, other ones don't. There's a certain hierarchy, the way that the characters are positioned. And this runs in every high school related project. Mm-hmm. Euphoria has done such a beautiful job of adapting that to literally today's world beyond just the characters having social media accounts. Like, this really is an accurate depiction at, I know what things were part of the adult world that I was interacting with and taking part in as a teenager. So the things that they're choosing to attach these kids' lives to and their actions to, I just think is brilliant. It's just a brilliant show. I am very nervous for Jules. I'm confused.
I felt bad for Jules.
Why do you think she ran out of the skating rink when Rue's other best friend said, I think it's because of you that Rue is so happy? And then Jules like completely froze up and like ran out of the skating rink. Why do you think she did that?
I think it's and I'm speaking from experience because I feel like I completely related. It's a lot of pressure when someone's healing is based, you know, loosely, I was putting, you know, quotations, is based on you
making them happy
in their life. Yeah. Because then it becomes this pressure of like, I have to be here. If I do anything, it might send them into a relapse. And all of a sudden, you can't think about anything but that, you know? And it's just like, especially when you think about it, it's not like Jules was 100% for this either. It was something that she was kind of like still feeling out, you know, figuring out. Rue's the one that's like all in. Like, she already, this is her dream girl. She's, like, fantasizing. You saw her masturbating. Like, she's all in. And as her mentor said at the rehab center,
yes,
you're
Ali, right?
What's his name, Ali?
I think it's Ali.
You're just switching addictions.
Yep.
You're swapping, essentially, from the drug to love.
Yeah.
And looking for the dopamine in a person now.
Which we talked about that dopamine shit. We talked about that on the Friend Zone before.
Right.
So I think it was a very, very accurate analysis of exactly what's going on between Rue and Jules' relationship. It's so funny because in episode one, Jules was my favorite character based on the scene where Nate ran her down in that pickup truck. I like to see people redeemed, like have some sort of opportunity to be vindicated, right? So the fact that he knocked her off that bike and just the adversity she was getting, I really wanted Jules to win. And Rue, with her substance abuse issues and the bond that she has with her baby sister, I just want to see that both of those girls win. I hate the fact that they're in a relationship because I really like them. They're not in a relationship, but entertaining this gray area of kind of figuring out.
I like it.
It makes a great story, but I want them to just be best friends.
I know.
So,
because I don't want anything to get in the way of their friendship.
I don't.
That's
and
my
I
only
know
fear.
It's obviously they're going to take us there before the season is out. But just seeing that, then my heart was broken when her little sister was getting high with those guys at the carnival. But That's what you do as a you know, that happens. And
the way that they were talking, I'm like, don't talk to my sister like that.
Well, and it was funny because, again, going back to the bond that Rue and her little sister Gia have, immediately once they started kind of getting, because we saw the conversation go from kind of playful to just straight up disrespectful.
Yeah.
And once that shift occurred, she kind of got up and they put their arms around each other and left. So I love their bond as sisters. And Rue held it down. You know, she made sure her sister didn't get in trouble or get busted.
I was shook. I was like, the mom is going to be in the living room waiting up for them and see the little sister high out of her mind. And of course, she's going to accuse Rue of being a bad influence. Yep. But that did not
when it's
happen.
The opposite. And I just, as soon as Rue got a little careless and her sister kind of, when they separated at the park, at the fairgrounds rather, immediately I was like, here we go. God, Jesus, God, please, Lord. I knew right then. So I'm just blown away with Euphoria, the cast, the stories. I love that every week we're getting to know more and more about a different character. What do you think about Cassie and her relationship and the way she responded to her boyfriend not claiming her at the festival when they were introduced?
I mean, it was kind of weird, though, because he...
We just chilling.
Right. But, I mean, that's expected,
That too. Hurt her damn feelings, too.
He saw her. Or what about when... is a cat? There's so many names.
Right.
When Kat misread the situation with the boy she likes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Talking to the other girl. Yes. She like is so mean to him now. And he's like, what the hell did I do? I wish she would just tell him.
Me too, because
so then
really
he could be
yeah.
like, no, like that's
she was
not
with my
what
brother.
Happened.
She was asking me about my brother or whatever. I don't know. So it's just really good. Okay, so Euphoria is the
Rue's best friend who low key I feel like is in love with Rue.
Yeah.
Throwing that piece for her in the cup.
And I don't know. I was interested to see how the three of them, how that dynamic was going to play out when they did try to go hang out. Mm-hmm. I just really love Rue. I got a soft spot for Rue.
Me too.
I do. And Zendaya is acting her ass O-F-F every single week.
People seem really overwhelmed by that show. Are you overwhelmed?
No.
A lot of people are. I know personally.
That's what I'm saying, because people are like, this show is too much.
Like,
and I'm like,
you did this to me.
In my head, I'm like, maybe it depends on what you've been through in your life.
Right.
For you to decide whether a show is a lot or not.
And it almost seems like, it don't seem soft by any means, but like the way that they justify like how she got into drugs and shit like that, not that I'm like, oh, but it kind of made me seem like, oh, well, I mean, of course this shit's going to be grotesque, but like you at the very least get to see why and how people fall down these holes. Like her even being in the house while the drug dealer's plug was there, like...
Oh gosh, that was
scary. That was the scene that someone who I know personally told me, like, that was too much for them. They're like, I could not handle that scene. And I understood the intensity of it being maybe intimidating for some people. I think my perspective is a little bit different because I act and I write. And so when I'm watching it, I'm looking at it through a totally different lens.
Right,
and
I'm in a technical lens.
So for me, because we have that technical eye, right? The fact that I'm entertained beyond that and actually like caught up in these characters and their stories, I know that this is a knockout. This is literally a knockout. It's the greatest show ever. And I just can't wait for their recognition from the awards, from the Television Academy and just awards season in general to reflect that because it's definitely deserving.
Ooh, they're going to sweep.
I hope so.
And shout out to Zendaya for taking edgy roles.
Yes. Yeah. She's a Disney girl.
I know that's not easy.
Think about
that. To jump into those waters, but I love it. She's in.
She's so stylish. She's so pro-black. She's just so, I love Zendaya so much. So that's it. And also just really quick on the reality tip, I want to give a huge shout out to the Real Housewives of Potomac because they are delivering. Basketball Wives is also delivering. So those are two reality shows. If you need your fix or if things have been a little lackluster, they switched up the production company at Basketball Wives, and this season, literally every episode has had wow moments. I haven't had a filler episode yet. Basketball Wives has delivered. I'm invested in those storylines because I've been watching from the beginning, so that's just for those that are still watching. And the Real Housewives of Potomac, again, knockout franchise.
Please talk about Potomac. Please. Just talk about them, please.
There's really nothing to say other than this one thing.
That's not it.
Clankety clank. Clankety clank. That bar soap. She's like, and the way she said, Karen Huger is who we're talking about. She was having a disagreement with Ashley Darby, whose husband, Michael Darby, had just been accused of physically, sexually assaulting a male cameraman on the set by goosing him, when there's already goosing. Been conversation. Goosing. Whoop, squeezing
that's
the butt
what
cheeks.
That's called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you. Okay.
No. Two hands, not one. So, okay, so, but then, so, those accusations came on the heels of him also being really drunk, so they say, and saying that he wanted to, you know, what? How did the song go, friend? Give me that. He wanted to, he wanted to, you know, perform fellatio. He said he wanted to perform fellatio. So now they all wondering, and Katie, who was a season one vet,
Katie had me down.
First of all, she looks like a witness, like with that wig on. Like, girl, what crime did you see happen that you hiding from the world? Because that wig, like, bitch, did you just get out the dryer? Like, the wash, she looks like she's been laundered. I don't know what the hell is going on with Katie, but she's funny because when they were talking about it with Ashley, she looked at Ashley and said, "Is he gay?" Like, Ashley's like, no, he's not gay. She's like, okay, well, you know what I'm saying?
There's nothing wrong
like,
with, yeah. Nothing wrong with sucking a little dick.
Right. So Potomac is delivering, right, to say the least. Make sure you guys watch.
Yes.
And that's it for TV Land this week.
All right. Enough is enough, I guess. So now it's time for This Is a Story.
That's right. And before we get into This Is a Story, I want to remind everyone to go to thefriendzonelive.com. Pick up your tickets for our August 10th New York City live show celebrating our fourth anniversary. It's going to be at the New School Tishman Auditorium, that is, on 13th and 5th here in New York City at 8 p.m. Get your motherfucking tickets at thefriendzonelive.com. Shout out to all the VIPs that got theirs because ain't no more of them to get.
Okay.
With that being said, let's move on to This Is a Story. Episode 23, y'all.
Like Jordan.
And by the way, this week we're hearing from Mia again. 6 hours later, I was sitting up in the very same hospital bed smiling. Why? I couldn't even tell you myself. Yes, there were funny things happening, like the volley of insults between between Ron and my mother. But every time I thought about my second chance at being a mother, I couldn't do anything but smile. Speaking of mothers, I knew it was only a matter of time before mine would have showed up once she'd heard I'd been in an accident. My mother was a lot of things: rude, angry, resentful, profane, unruly, all of those things. But she was also my mother, and no matter what, she always showed up when it was time. All of my life, she and I had enjoyed a special relationship. As a child, my mama, Francine, had always encouraged me to do things my way. She always supported me putting myself first. And now, as a mother myself, and especially as a woman who saw my mother unapologetically break some rules, I completely understand why. My mom went through a lot with my father, God rest his soul. But when he came home to our home with my baby brother, and my mom hadn't been pregnant in 3 years, that was the moment my mom began to evolve into her current self. Against the advice of her friends and family, she welcomed my father's new child into our home and into our family. But she also simultaneously dismissed my father from her heart, from her list of concerns, from her priorities. She killed that flame that burned inside her heart for him, and she was able and determined to make him understand the gravity of the pain that he had caused her. And there was only one way she knew how to do that. After the news broke that my mother was having an affair with a prominent judge in our city, my father had been beyond humiliated. He became incensed with anger toward her and basically shamed my mom into leaving town for good. She left town with her head high, though, and a smile on her face, because she knew that he would never be the same. And sure enough, my father was not. He grew old and sick alone, with only his two children by his side. And he never trusted another woman with his heart again, paying the ultimate karma for his actions. I spent the summers with my mom until college, but my mother and I spoke daily from the moment she left our home. She really won in the end. I smiled at her sleeping, even with her signature frown on her face. I guess I'd been so deep in my own thoughts that I didn't notice that Ron had quietly gone to the restroom and now had returned to my bedside. I looked at him, and our stares held for what felt like an eternity. We smiled at each other, first with our eyes and then with our mouths. He placed his finger over my mouth and then his hand over my hand, and we both squeezed. And as soon as I was about to try to say the words, "I love you," he said, "Shh." And as he leaned in and kissed my forehead, and in a sultry whisper began to speak, what he next said to me took the wind out of my sails. He said, in this whisper, "Ain't no way I'm raising another man's child with you. As soon as we get home, I want you and all your shit gone."
Juices.
Damn.
I'll see you next week for episode 24 of This Is a Story.
Well.
Okay.
Well.
Talking about some walking papers.
As always, we love you so much. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye. Bye.
Let's give it up one more time for Ben and Jerry's, Big Frida's, booty, 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 bouncing beignets.
That was good.
Thank you. I can't wait to try that. You know, I think I'm fake from New Orleans. Can't wait to try it again. Shout out to Ben and Jerry's. I love them so much. I love the half-baked flavor. Also, the Cherry Garcia is one of my favorites.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, ain't that good? And it's
so
pretty,
good.
Too.
Yeah.
Right. So, shout out to Ben and Jerry's once again. Really want to give them some love as we enjoy this hot New York summer. You can cozy up with your favorite flavor available anywhere ice cream is sold. Or you can find a new favorite flavor at BenJerry.com. That's BenJerry.com.